This week, Twitch gets bigger and legal pressure gets stronger. Long known to be a source of contention, copyrighted music on streams has become a large content liability, with Twitch choosing to delete large amounts of archived content from streamers' channels where copyrighted music was present. This is a complicated subject that I can't properly express in 20 seconds alone, so I'm turning it over to your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to discuss this and all the night's news, starting right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Friends out there on the internet, welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live once again tonight with episode number 840 of our show for this October the 25th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts. Say hello first off to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hey.
Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, headache, but yeah. I'm here.
You're here. All right, well, appreciate
you. There's no bright, glowy circle halo like usual.
That's okay. It's all right. It's Halloween season anyway, so it's okay for things to be dark and a little bit moody tonight, I suppose.
Moody? Well, yeah, that would be me.
I'm trying to pick out everything on your shelf, too, and I'm having a hard time.
Okay, so I have my mini Impala from Supernatural.
All right.
Sam Pop. I have Pumpa Pudding, Parappa. There's a Magikarp back there. I have a weighted companion cube and my pumpkin because it is Halloweeny.
All right. Well, unfortunately,
but I'm enjoying my Supernatural love because the show's almost over.
For those that are listening on our podcast feed, they can't see all that stuff on video, but it's just incentive to try to be here when we record live Sunday nights at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, the Voice of Geeks Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. So we are live on Sunday nights. And if you're a subscriber here on our Twitch feed, which I think you can pay $5 for, or you can use your free Amazon Prime subscription that will give you one free Twitch sub a month. You can use that, and that will allow you to access all the video on demand. So if you're listening at home on your podcast feed right now through Spotify or something, and you're like, I want to see Dark Sakura's recording space, you can hit up the Twitch channel and check that out. Also joining us, of course, as he is every week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hey, Loki, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
And I see the listeners who are participating live tonight with us have recognized the game behind you as Carrion, that game that came out not that long ago. Is this something you've been playing lately, or...?
No, I had to think of a Halloween game, and I could have done the other one. I was kind of going with thought about Friday the 13th from the NES, but I was like,
that's a good one.
I'm sure we've done that before, but
probably.
I haven't really played much. I haven't really played any of this game, but I know that that they have that as part of that Devolver Digital E3 game thing that they did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, and I love the Friday the 13th video game. I know it gets a lot of crap for being a terrible video game, but I don't hate it. I think the music was good too. It was creepy, very creepy. And those first person sequences in the house, I'm sorry, that was some scary shit. All right. So those of you that are watching us live can see we're on the four shot tonight, which means we have a guest joining us. And say hello, everyone joining us. Old familiar face here at Orange Lounge Radio. Say hello to Shane.
Hello.
Hey, Shane, how are you doing?
I've been better.
I was going to say, you don't look so great. Do you care to share with listeners what's going on?
No, because I've already talked about it before and posted it on social media, but I got COVID.
So, like, legit, you tested positive for COVID?
Yeah, it was... This is probably why I got it. I took a test so I would have to not go to school the next day. Because we only have one car, and... my husband needed it for something. I was like, well, if I take a test, then I won't have to have, I can't go to school. And I was already like, I had like a sore throat and a cough. I was like, it's good enough reason. They'll let me get tested and then you can just take the car. Well, I got tested and oops, it was positive. So there was that.
There's a name for the show if I ever heard one. Oops, it was positive. Well, obviously, I'm giggling about it now, but it's not, you know, luckily we can make a little light of it because your symptoms, although they've been lingering, haven't been serious enough to send you to the hospital or anything like that, right? So what have you, like, been experiencing?
So the sore throat and cough, the sore throat was the worst thing for me. Thankfully, I'm on day 9 or 10 now, and my sore throat went away yesterday, so that's good. A cough, fatigue, general just breathing issues, and crazy amounts of headache. I don't normally get headaches, so it's very frustrating.
Now, what is interesting about this scenario, too, is that, you know, I wasn't here on Orange Lounge Radio a couple weeks ago because I took a trip out to Idaho. I'm not sure how explicitly I said this, but I went to go visit Shane. Like, Shane is, you know, one of my longest friends. And we thought, you know, you and your husband take this situation very seriously. Me and Alan take this very seriously. So we don't really get to see other people a lot. So we kind of figured that the risk was low. So something that you guys may not know. 2 hours before OLR last week is when Shane sent me a text that was like, boy, do I have some news for you type of thing. Yeah. So I had to get a test Monday mine was negative. So there's that. So it seems likely that you probably got COVID like a day or two after I left, the way the timing kind of all works out, right?
Yeah, they think maybe Wednesday. And I guess the term is funny. It's funny too, because Dustin didn't get it. He tested negative. We have two roommates. They tested negative. It's just me, the person who screams all the time about wearing their mask and will not take it off even in the car if I'm going to go get drive. So I probably picked it up at school somehow.
Shane is joining us to talk about video games and not just COVID, but I have to say, just to kind of back up your story a little bit, like when I got there on Thursday and like got to your house, you and Dustin were wearing masks in the house and so was I. And I was like, well, I don't want to be rude and take mine off. They're going to keep theirs on. And there was a point where I was like, are we just going to have our masks on in the house all weekend? And I think Shane was like, yep. But we did. We ended up, obviously. It became too much and, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so well, obviously, you know, our chat is lighting up over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. There's a lot of people wishing you well and hoping that you feel a lot better very soon. And the good news is you have been slowly, like it just seems like this whole process is just long is what's
just
annoying about
long.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once I kick the sore throat, everything else is manageable to me. Mm-hmm. I don't mind getting fatigued. Headaches are stupid, and I'm glad I normally don't get them because they are so annoying. The cough is like whatever, but man, it does suck and it does take a while. And supposedly starting tomorrow, I'm okay to do stuff again. I'm okay to do stuff again, but like.
No, you're not. Like, I'm sorry, but.
Hey, Shane, do you feel like you have an adult Maine Coon sitting on your chest the whole time?
A what?
A cat.
Maine Coon. Giant cat. Big cat.
Oh, I hope not. No, I don't feel like that.
It doesn't feel like that? See, when I had pneumonia, quote fingers, I felt like that all the time, and I had the sore throat, and I had the headache the whole time, and I couldn't move. I felt like doing nothing but sitting in the chair. Thank goodness Animal Crossing had just come out. But still, yeah, I hope you feel better.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, the doctor told me that he's like, you're probably not going to feel better really for 2 weeks at least. So, or like all the way better. So I'm just going to I'm still not going to school. I told them, yeah, I don't have a sore throat anymore, but the cough is probably not a good thing to go back to class with. So they listened and yeah, I'm still just going to take it easy. I don't really have anywhere I need to be. So
just listen to your body first. It took me 6 weeks. To fully get over all my symptoms. So listen to yourself first. The doctors may tell you one, you know, blanket answer, but your body's going to be the best judge.
Yeah.
No one special 77 in our chat says the fact that Shane has yet to say whatever during the call is a sure sign that he truly is sick. Get well, dude. Well, we haven't really talked about games yet, but I didn't. Yeah. bring you here just to grill you about COVID, but I think it is one of those things people are genuinely curious about, you know, because it's everywhere, obviously.
Plus, I mean, I'm laying in bed in the bedroom right now. It's not like a normal studio experience.
I had to explain to the viewers why you look like shit. Like, let's just say it what
no,
it
I
is.
Just took
I'm
a
not.
Shower. My hair looks okay.
Your hair.
Shane does not look like shit. He just looks like he's in bed.
He looks
with
he
not
looks,
bed hair.
I can tell Shane's like sick. Like, but his yes, your hair looks amazing. I'll give you that. All right.
It always does. Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk about games. So obviously this whole COVID situation, as shitty as it is, means you get to stay home and play a lot of video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You've been playing a lot of the Pokemon DLC, right? The Pokemon content, right?
Yes. Oh my God. I played it till like 6 a.m. the other night. Morning, something like that.
And how tell us about it, because I got to say, I don't, I mean, I know there is Sword and Shield DLC, but I haven't played the first one yet. So is this second one just like the first one, but with different Pokemon, or how's it different?
No, I feel like it's a step up, whereas the first DLC also kind of felt like a step up from the main game, because it was nothing but the wild area, but done a lot better. This one is even better than that in terms of wild area. You know, there's some new legendaries, some new Galar forms. But the part that matters is the Dynamax adventure. The Dynamax adventures are what the max raid should have been, and I cannot quit playing them. They're so much fun.
What tell us a little bit about what those entail. So they're not quite like the raids, but there's some similarity, right?
Correct. They're a different style of raid because you still have four Pokemon against one. But in this one, you don't bring your own Pokemon. You are given a choice between, like, preset Pokemon, which is great because then you don't see a lot of the same ones over and over again. It's not like four legendaries against one thing that you're just going to overpower really quick.
And nobody brings a fucking Magikarp that does nothing?
No, nobody brings a Magikarp. But I don't know, maybe you could get one on the way. I don't know. But anyway, you start out with four, and you have to go through these tunnels, and each at the end of each intersection is a Pokemon you fight, just like a normal max raid battle. It has no shield, so it's just one life bar. And after you beat it, you and the other three people you're with get the option to take that Pokemon with you for the rest of the journey. And so you do that three times, and at the end you fight a legendary. If you catch everything on the results screen, you get to pick one of those four Pokemon you caught to take back with. What's great about that for people like me is this is a fun way to shiny hunt. While you're playing, none of the Pokemon show up shiny, but at the end, the results screen where you pick the Pokemon, if they're shiny and they have a 1 in 100 chance to be shiny, it'll just show up on screen as a shiny, and then you take it and you got yourself a brand new shiny. In fact, right before the show, maybe a couple of hours, I ended up getting a shiny legendary, and I was super excited, and it just made my night.
Which legendary did you get?
Reshiram from Black and White.
Oh, okay. Congrats.
Thank you.
So, is this kind of one of the big, is this one of the big, like, perks of this particular DLC is that you kind of get to do shiny legendary hunting, which I don't think is something that's very easy to do in the games otherwise, right? Maybe Pokemon Go, but that's a non-issue.
Well, yes. I think the big draw for this content was supposed to just be legendaries in general. But once the shiny odds for everything plus the legendaries that you encounter in this new style of play got figured out, I think a lot more people were more excited. So yeah, the draw is legendaries, but for me it's shiny legendaries or just random shinies. Like maybe it was like my third or fourth time going through one of the dungeons or whatever caverns, I got a regular Pokemon. I was like, whoa, I don't have this one yet. That's awesome. So it's neat. I feel like my time is not wasted, where max raids, I constantly felt like my time was wasted.
Mm. Do you think that they're going to end up doing a third DLC? I know that that's been rumored for quite some time and could potentially fill in the final remaining gaps and maybe make the National Dexers stop bitching, although I don't think they ever will. But what do you think the status is on a potential third DLC, just being a fan and follower of the series as long as you have been?
Well, since my favorite Pokemon is not in yet still, I want a third DLC. If they didn't do a third DLC, I could see that still being okay. And then next year we just get another new proper game. But if they were to do a third DLC and not do a new proper game next year, it's got to be more expensive than what we've been given far, I feel like.
Do you think it's going to be a proper game next year? Or do you think it's going to end up being like a remake of either Gen 4 or like a Let's Go Gen 2 type of thing? What do you think?
I never want a Let's Go game ever again, so not no to that one.
Well, I didn't say what you wanted. I said what you think will happen.
Well, those are the same thing. So, no, I don't want nor think the Let's Go game should happen. I don't want a Gen 4 remake either. I'd rather have something new. Personally, okay. I'd rather have a third DLC over a Gen 4 remake.
Okay. Over at chat, SSG100 Matt says, are the National Dexers still complaining? Is water wet? Like, look at the responses to any Pokemon tweet. Sorry, buddy. ActDeft in chat says, I don't think we'll get a third DLC, but I do think we're getting Sinnoh remakes next. So kind of on that train of the Gen 4 remakes potentially next.
Yeah. If Gen 4 does come next, at least that means we're one step closer to a Gen 5 remake, and that's all I really.
So anything else you want to say about Pokemon?
No.
No. Okay. Let's talk about another game that you've been playing a little bit, and I've been playing a little bit. So I'm getting into my gaming week just a little bit, but with good reason, because Shane's still here. So this is also one of the things where I've been sitting here for several months now saying, I'm probably not going to do this. I really don't have any interest in doing this. I'm not going to do this. And I went and did it. And that is playing World of Warcraft. And the reason why is because, Shane, you've been playing it a little bit because of the... what made you want to play that again, actually?
Two things. Just curiosity to kind of see how the game has been. Because even if I don't love it, or even like it as much as I used to, it's kind of like revisiting something that, like your hometown or something, you know. I spent a lot of time in that stupid game, and it's just kind of neat to check out every once in a while. So that's one reason. And the second reason was they decided to do a whole bunch of additional customization for the game, for the races, and I thought, one of the problems that game has is every character looks very much the same. There's not a lot of diversity in what you can make. And they were really trying to step up the diversity. So I thought I would go check it.
Yeah, I'll say that the character customization, I'm going to get, that's a big win. Like obviously the diversity stuff is a huge win, but like, it's even more than that. Like, it's just like the way you can customize like Tauren's, I noticed, I was like, dang, you can make a Tauren look really good. And I was very impressed with that whole thing. I will say that. But yeah, you know, I was dragging my feet in the sand. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And we have this long running joke on Orange Lounge Radio that Shane has these mysterious powers of persuasion where he can usually convince people to play whatever game he wants them to play or do whatever. But I was standing firm on this one. I'm like, no, I'm not dropping that kind of money on WoW. I'm not a huge Blizzard person these days. Anyway, I'm going to sit this one out. And then it's, you know, Rob, I got COVID and I'm bored.
Okay. No, no.
Well, there's other stuff we're not going to bring up on the show. You had a very bad week.
Yeah, I had a very bad week. But also in my defense, I did not really ask you to play so much as you offered to play.
I finally caved because you had a lot of stuff going on, and I recognized that. And I'm like, okay, if I could do this thing to make Shane happy, I'll do it. And I was like, you know what? If nothing else, I'll have an educated opinion when I talk about it. And my educated opinion is, like, it's, again, the character customization's cool. The level squish is interesting, but I'm kind of, I don't know, like, anything is always more fun with friends. I like playing with you, and I like playing with the small friend group we have that still plays WoW. WoW is interesting when that's happening. But, like, I was starting to do kind of, like, a little priest on my own, and I was running it back through the Mists of Pandaria areas and stuff and kind of, like, getting reunited with stuff. And I have to admit, there kind of came a point where I was like, this isn't really fun alone, and it's not something I really... Like, I was just like, I'm going to go back to Final Fantasy 14 and get my goals done in that game. So, like... I don't know. I hope the expansion turns out well for that community, because there's a great, you know, community there. But I can't say there was, like, as much as they talk about this Shadowlands pre-patch was huge changes and huge things going on with the levels, which is the biggest changes of the game since Cataclysm. Like, as much as I hear all that and I can see that from the technical levels and everything, I just couldn't help but feel, this game is the same old shit. Like, this really hasn't changed that much in 15 years. Well... Since Blizzard started going down, since Mike Morhaime left, it hasn't changed much.
So I think both it and 14 are fine games in their own rights. What's been good about WoW is that it's a game I can kind of turn my brain off and play. Whereas 14, even if we do the same two dungeons on an expert roulette over and over and there's not much variance, I still somewhat feel like I have to think more. And WoW, like, I got a character from 0 to 40 in, like, 2 days, because I could just sit there and mindlessly play. So maybe it's because it's all old content still, but I don't know. It's good for monotony stuff.
It is really fascinating how Blizzard has just basically said, okay, so old World of Warcraft is going to go squish, like, and you're going to get through it in a blink of an eye, and then we're just going to move right on to the latest expansion. So they really are hedging, like, the future of WoW, basically, or maybe not, on this new... I think WoW will still be... If EverQuest has, like, 20 expansions, WoW's still going to be around a long time. But they're hedging a lot of the future of WoW on this new expansion, so...
Yeah.
And that they ended up delaying. It's going to be interesting. Okay, so we talked Pokemon, we talked WoW. Any other video games I've got to talk with you about, Shane?
Among Us.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's actually tie that into the other kickoff topic I had planned for tonight. So, Loki, if you don't mind me throwing the ball to you, there was a huge historic event on Twitter. Everybody knows what this is going to be that involved that game Among Us this week, right? Loki, just so you know, you're muted and I can't hear you.
Sorry, I thought I had unmuted.
That's anyways, it's 20. It's 2020. We're all used to asking on people to unmute. It happens.
Yes. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez streamed on Twitch, which she had teased about doing. She is one of the representatives in the, I want to say, the House, and so it's just kind of a really. A unique thing, because normally you don't see a lot of these representatives and stuff connecting with their constituents in kind of a more modern way, for example. So of course it was met with, you know, a lot of viewers, because everyone was really interested in this, and it was overall a pretty wholesome event. It drew in over 430,000 viewers. I want to say that number's probably a little low, because I think that's just her stream was the peak on that. Considering that all the other people that were playing along with her, lots of other streamers, there's probably folks watching through them as well. So I think that number's probably a bit lower.
And it was also, that was the concurrent viewers. If you go and you, so now, and Twitch didn't always do this, but now with the VODs or the video on demand, it actually shows a view count. So, like, most of the VODs on VOG Network were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 views. You know, very few people going in the archive and looking at old shows. But now what happens, it doesn't do that anymore. Well, it does for the highlights of the show. But, like, if you go back and you watch the live uncropped version, basically, with all the, you know, stand by, we'll be live soon and all that stuff, it actually shows the number of views that this episode got while we were live all together. So a lot of them have, you know, 120, 130, however many people dropped in and out during the show. My point is, AOC's stream had 5 million last I checked. Now, obviously, this made news. Maybe there were people going in and out several times during the thing. A lot of people checking it out after the fact, I'm sure, as it was linked on all these news blogs and things like that. But that's huge. That's a lot of people.
It was, and it was really like a wholesome. The whole thing was like a very wholesome stream. It was fun to see a lot of different content creators get together to kind of pull this off, because originally the whole thing started off with she was posting on Twitter, "Hey, who would be interested in an Among Us stream?" And everyone's like, "Yeah, me." And
yeah, so, it was like instant exposure. Yeah.
So you had, you know, like lots of online personalities. First off, another representative, Ilhan Omar, was in there as well. So that was great. Yeah,
Hassan. She was vicious. She killed so many people.
Yeah, you had Hassan Piker, Pokimane, Dr. Lupo, Disguised Toast, Moist Critical, Myth, Jacksepticeye. I know Gus Buckets or Gus Johnson was in there as well. What was it? Corpse Husband, who...
That guy had a voice. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was just... It was a great, great event overall. Lots of just kind of promoting folks to go to the polls, vote, get registered to vote if you're not registered. I mean, it was just great. And it was just, like, it was a nice change of pace with all the chaos going on, just to, like, be able to connect with someone, you know, a politician in a way that's not, like, just wanting to drive you nuts. It was like someone relatable, at least. And I think that's kind of what she was going for with that. So overall, really great.
For sure. And over in our chat, SSJ100 Matt, let me give you a, for instance, game number one of the World Series that happened that same night had about 15K concurrent worldwide. And that's compared to the 400 plus K plus when you count the other streamers the AOC had. Now, look, I'm not bringing this story up on OLR, and we're not bringing this story up on OLR necessarily for the political side of it. Like, it's no secret that, you know, the hosts of the show tend to lean a little left, okay? Like, I know you've picked that up over the time. I don't necessarily 100% agree with AOC all the time. Like, I don't necessarily agree with every of her ideas and things like that. But I agree with a lot of them. And I was more taken by, as opposed to agree or disagree or any of that stuff, putting all of that aside, I would like to think that if I was someone who leaned right, I would still be somebody that would be pretty impressed with, and I think that keyword is relatable, how she really made politics and politicians feel relatable. And it's ironic that the whole game was called Among Us, because I'm sure there'd be some people that are going to make the joke, LOL, she's an imposter, but I kind of felt she was really among us, you know, and Ilhan Omar as well. And even, and if you want to talk about right-leaning versus left-leaning and all that stuff, during the thing she was talking about, shout out, because I know other congressional representatives are listening. She's like, I'm getting text messages from Justin Amash right now, da-da-da-da-da. And she's like shouting him out. And now he's talking about, and he's more right-leaning, right-leaning. Sorry, I can't talk tonight. But he's talking about setting up some type of Twitch feed. Now, this isn't the first time we've seen politics on Twitch, right? We know Bernie had a channel. We know Donald Trump had a channel. I think he might have it back. I don't know. But all that jokes aside, most of what you would see on both of those channels, and that's a very left and a very right channel, most of what you would see on both of those channels were just simulcasts of rallies, simulcasts of other events that the news is covering, so on and so on. What made AOC different, and what I very much believe is newsworthy in the game industry, no matter where you lean politically, what made that stream interesting was that it was a political event bringing awareness to early voting that really went into what Twitch is all about. It was a standing congressional representative, one that gets talked about an awful lot, getting in there, playing video games, having fun, and again, that keyword, relatable. And you know I've said this ever since I dated my ex 10 plus years ago, who you all met at one point or another, and what was the message I took away from that? Any idiot can do politics. If that guy can do it, you can do it. And I think AOC, I think, brought that same message in a much more positive way, that like, hey, I like to play video games on Twitch too, and this is something, you know, you could do if you wanted to get into politics. I thought that was just rad. And like Loki said, I thought it was just like a wholesome, positive thing that didn't get, I mean, sure, the chat comments would range from, you know, wholesome to dumpster fire, but I just, who has time
to
read chat?
That's just in general. I mean, on any stream.
Who has time to read chat? It's scrolling by so fast. I'm more into the actual, like, I'm more into the way she's acting when she's like an imposter and she's like, I don't know if I can, I don't, you know, she's like super skittish about it. And she kills somebody. She's like, I'm sorry, you know, and like all those things. It's just watching her go through that was really something. Jamie, I did you catch this by chance or any of the highlight reels after the fact or anything?
I couldn't because I was working on Project Nunway.
Oh, right, right.
So I sadly had other priorities that needed to be taken care of, like, you know, fighting a Google Meet stream with many, many viewers on it.
Fair enough.
And doing my lines, so sorry.
That's okay.
I read a lot of the tweets about it, though, and she was just really, really cool just in her tweets about it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Going to our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SSU100 Matt says, AOC grew up in my hometown and I'm friends with folks who knew her back in high school. She was always a hardcore gamer. She was playing Smash Brothers Melee in the gaming club in high school. That's pretty cool. You know, and one of the big takeaways I took, and, you know, the reality is, you know, you've got the president doing these big rallies and people aren't really wearing masks. People aren't really social distancing. We can all see that. It's not exactly taking the COVID guidelines seriously and all that's going on. And those big events, I mean, they are big and they draw several thousand people. We know that. But AOC, interestingly enough, found a way to do a big political event in a very COVID-safe, pandemic-safe way that reached out to a generation that oftentimes doesn't get targeted with these types of things and needs to have sometimes that fire lit under their butt to go vote a little bit, right? The younger generation, and drew in 400,000 plus people while doing it. So if you think about it, she just put on the biggest political rally of 2020 on Twitch. In a way, I realize I'm logically connecting some big dots there, but I can't help but find it fascinating. And like Loki said, I was also kind of glued to the TV. It was just a good stream because she's also not one of those streamers that completely gets sidelined with, you know, all the other stuff going on Twitch. She was just in there playing the game, having a good time. Shane, I've been making you wait, but you love Among Us.
Yes,
and
my arms are dying.
I'm sorry, but what did you what did you think of the stream?
Oh, I thought it was great. Like, I don't really know what else to say beyond that. I thought it was really informative and entertaining. And, like, for what you could kind of consider a political stream, I didn't feel it was preachy. And I obviously lean towards her, too, politically. But, like, everything was presented in a way that is not your typical old person politician. And so it felt like... It felt a lot easier to digest and like, okay, yeah, this is great. I loved it. I watched pretty much all of it.
It wasn't preachy. You're right. But definitely there were little things that were being dropped. Like when she talked to the guy from the UK about healthcare, and then I think Pokimane was from Canada as well. So she was kind of talking to them about their experiences with healthcare. And she was asking all those questions. She's like, so you can just walk into the doctor? Wow. You know, that whole thing. And she kind of gave her perspective on that. So, but you're right. It came off in a way that didn't sound, at least to me, but maybe, and to be fair, maybe it's because, yes, I agree with her more than I disagree with her, but it didn't come off as preachy to me. I thought it was just an interesting, she's just asking questions from people around the world, literally trying to get to know her people she's playing with and, you know, get to know the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no one special is asking in chat. Okay, question. Normally, if a viewer makes a comment that a streamer doesn't like, they can purge the comment or timeout ban the viewer, which is all fine and dandy. Now, since AOC is a politician and Twitch is now serving as an avenue to reach out to politicians about whatever issue, does purging comments, timeouts, bans, etc. get a little iffy legally? Yes, it does, actually. It does get a little iffy legally. I believe the stream was moderated, but they didn't like if somebody came in there and wrote a pro-Trump thing, I don't think they like legally or would really have the time to remove it. I think they just let it sit because and this was a big problem. You remember that story? It was about a month ago about the military streaming on Twitch, and they started to ban people who would come in there and ask these questions about, you know, certain, you know, military thing and all these things, asking the hard questions. And the military started like banning people, and people like sued them over that. So the military has a very like rigid policy on what they do and they don't allow. But essentially, as long as you're not threatening or, you know, do these, you can go in there and ask about war crimes and stuff, and they really can't ban you. And so I think, and I don't really have all the details on how this works, but I think the way AOC kind of approached her stream was similar. Like if somebody had said something threatening or extremely gross, I'm sure it got taken care of. But all the MAGA 2020 spam and all that stuff, it didn't. They just, you know, what are you going to do? You couldn't ban that stuff fast enough, right?
Well, speaking of spam, as you would.
Please.
Because of the popularity of this AOC-driven event and among us, apparently a guy by the name of Eris Loris, he went in and hacked Among Us to spam a bunch of messages and cause like this black screen kind of thing where the map basically disappears because of it, using some bots that he created. So, you know, stuff, you know, saying like that he'll hack your device or blow up your phone if you don't subscribe to his channel. And then also Trump 2020 at the end. Apparently he did cop to that he did it, and basically said that, you know, he doesn't care that it's a small company, you know, run by three people, that they should have, you know, patched their game up better or something like that. And he did it for the lols and trolling people because that's what he does. And apparently, of course, you know, when asked about whether, you know, he was, you know, he of course added the bit in there because he is a Trump supporter, but just kind of shows you the contrast between how, you know, one side will try to get the word out, and then the other side is just like, oh, let's spam some, you know, anger and hatred stuff because I don't like something that you guys did.
Yeah, that whole stunt kind of backfires for your team when you do that, I think. So, not great. And you know, God, imagine you are the creators of Among Us. Like seriously. They created this game 2 years ago, and, you know, I'm sure it did well enough because they were planning a sequel, but not nearly the fanfare we're talking about now. 2 years after these three people put out this game, you have a congressional representative playing it on a Twitch stream to the third largest stream of all time. That's crazy in a good way, you know, like just how far that game has come. It's something else. It's something else.
Yeah, basically said he's all, I was curious to see what would happen, and personally, I found it funny. The anger and hatred is part of what makes it funny. If you care about a game and are willing to go and spam dislike some random dude on the internet because you can't play it for 3 minutes, it's stupid.
Yeah. So anyway, it's sad that that is happening when Among Us probably doesn't have the staff to be able to handle that fast enough. But I'm sure they will get some help. But it's gonna be bumpy as people choose to do these types of stunts to pick on them or whatever it is they're doing. It's silly. Shane, I know you've been playing just a crap ton of Among Us, and you were really into this game. What is it about this game that you enjoy? And tell us about kind of like what you've been doing, because you've been playing on streams and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I've been playing with some friends. So I think my first way to describe it, which is like the best way I can, or like, yeah, the best way I can describe it is it's as close to playing real life Danganronpa as I'm ever probably going to get.
That's pretty cool. That's a very apt description.
Yeah.
Without pink blood.
Yeah, no pink blood, but like, you all gather around like a little table at, you know, after somebody dies, and you talk about it. But I don't know. I like being sneaky and murdering people while also convincing them I didn't do it and making other people argue. Like, it's my game. It's just like what I want to do in real life, basically, all the time. So I don't know. It's great. Like last night, I had a few rounds. I got to be imposter back to back, and oh, I killed so many people, and nobody ever suspected me. And I kind of shut my mouth, let all the louder people talk. They kicked each other out the airlock, and then I just went and I killed more people. It was great. It's just fun. And the best part is, for me, is I'm playing right now with a group of people that don't get mad about the game. Like, we may get loud during the discussion times, but after, like, we either win or lose, like, we're all just laughing and like, congratulating each other, and just, it's fun. Like, you cannot play with randoms. Do not play with randoms if you're playing this game. It will take all the fun out of it. Play with people you know.
All right, so let me get some comments from chat. So SG100 Matt in chat says, Shane is deep down a chaos monster. True.
Oh, deep down? No, that's pretty outward.
ACDEFT in chat says,
I love chaos.
ACDEFT in chat says, to this day, I haven't played Among Us, not even once. But I've seen a lot of videos and streams of people playing it. Same. I'm almost afraid to play it at this point because I'm not going to know what I'm doing. And so many people have played this game. Like, they're going to be like, where'd you find the body? I don't know. Like,
So I'm still technically new at it. I forget the names of locations all the time, but you know, I'm in the upper left side of the map. And like,
yeah,
oh,
I don't think it matters.
Upper engine. I'm like, sure. Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. And I'm usually telling the truth about that, 'cause I just don't.
So and this is another game where Shane has been trying to use his power of persuasion on me. And honestly, I'm not exactly resisting. Like, I'm not opposed to playing Among Us. I just, it has to be kind of like the right time in the right environment. But so Shane, well, some things.
My son keeps asking me when we're going to play because he wants to play with us, because he keeps asking me to play with him. But there's not a lot of people that want to play.
My niece plays it. She's like a little kid. They love it. I'm like, wow.
So Shane, pay attention, because some things are starting to come together here, okay? Listen to this. Black Compat in chat says, I haven't been able to get a group together to play or been invited to play on anyone's stream. Let's see. SSGO 100 Matt says, so, VOG game night Among Us when? Pod Culture says, have yet to play it. Let's get a VOG group together. So maybe.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
As long as everybody's cool and not going to yell at each other for real and not hold grudges, it's totally a fun game to play.
All right. So we'll have a VOG Among Us night in the coming days. So stay tuned, Black Compat, for your invite, and a Pod Culture and so forth. Stay tuned, because we'll want to definitely all those folks I just named, we want to get involved with that type of thing. And, rule number one, just fucking be cool about it. It's rule number one. All right.
Yeah. Sometimes the games go like one of the last games we played last night, one person got seen venting, so we knew exactly that person was going to get kicked off. And then the other person was trying to vouch for them. And they're like, no, you can't. We literally saw the vent. So the game lasted like 2 minutes. So what are you going to do?
And it happens. But the nice thing is, you don't just play one round. You play like 10 rounds in a night. And so, you know, you'd be able to brush it off at some point.
Yep. It's totally a great time.
Well, if you want to get in on the action with Among Us, we'll set something up on our Discord channel. Discord. So stay tuned over at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com/Discord. Stay tuned, and we'll try to put something together for the coming weeks at some point here. I know with this week being Halloween, there's probably a lot of stuff going on. We'll try to get something
Halloween
soon.
This week? I didn't even know that.
Saturday, but, you know, people will be doing stuff throughout the week, hopefully virtually. But I do know there's a lot of outdoor type of art events and drive-through things and stuff going on. So, you know, people are making the 2020 thing work. So we'll make it work. Anyway, Shane, you've been holding that iPad above your head for so long now, so thank you for doing that. I know you're fatigued and have COVID. I know you're sick. Please feel better, and everybody in chat, as well as here in the chat here, definitely wish you feel better and do better and all that. And the good news is you have been getting better as the days go on. It's just slow, right?
Yes. I'm kind of feeling like I'm plateauing right now, but it's not as bad as it was to start, and so I can't complain.
All right. Anything else on any games or anything you want to share with us tonight before we let you go?
As always, everybody needs to play the game of the year, Hades. It's the best.
I forgot to ask you about that.
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's just so good.
Quick
game of the year.
Quick update on how Hades is going for you. Somebody in chat asked, like, why hasn't Shane brought Hades up? I forgot to get back to it. We just had so much other stuff to talk about.
I would never not bring Hades up, so it's okay, chat. Don't worry. I romanced the character I wanted to. That was awesome. I've unlocked a few weapon aspects. I still have not got the prologue, but to be fair, the past week I've not really been playing because of the fatigue. Like, holding a controller for a long period of time just kind of wears on me.
Yeah.
Like, even Pokemon, I've not, like, even though I'm playing it a lot, it's easy because I can set a command, put down the controller for a minute, then pick it back up, or even just rest the controller on my desk and do it. But no, Hades has gone great. I'm technically almost done in quote marks, but that game is so good I won't ever be done.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go and move on with the rest of our gaming weeks, but have a good one. Feel better. Check in and chat in the next week or two and let us know how you're doing, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Kick me out because I don't know how to do it.
All right. Can someone click and drag? I can't do it because I'm on my phone. Can someone just drag him out of the channel somewhere else? All right.
Bye.
All right. So we're going to shift gears into the rest of our gaming weeks here and get into that. So Dark Soccer, why don't you start us off? How was your gaming week? What have you been playing this week?
I've only had time for Animal Crossing, to be perfectly honest, just because of Project Nunwe, which was a success. We're still taking donations, and the videos are going to be up at capitalcitysisters.org. So you can see me walk the runway looking really thrifty. Other than that, it's really just been time for Animal Crossing a little bit, doing lots of video editing, lots of audio editing. I was playing something else. Yeah, I'm back to Wordscapes just to try to keep my brain active. But I do have Hades, and I am going to be playing it probably during the next week because I don't really have many projects right now. I'm taking November off of projects. and I'm actually other than my blog at Gen X Geeks with an X. I'm going to be getting my streaming going starting in November, and I still want to do that charity stream, so... When I'm gaming, I'll let people know. Right now, real life has intruded.
All right. Sounds good for now. I hope the event continues to be a big success because you can watch it online and stuff, right?
We had trouble with it because they decided to use Google Meet for it instead of a streaming service because I put a lot of work into the video. The video is going to be up, and if people want it, just ask me about it. I'll try to get it to you.
Okay.
It should hopefully be up by Monday evening on capitalcitysisters.org. We actually did get something else. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but we got the new Jersey Jack Pirates of the Caribbean pinball. And so I actually did play some of that. It's very loud. Very fun. Lots of modes. It's pretty nuts. But the Jersey Jack games are pretty, pretty tops.
Hindemith 1895 in chat says in response to what you were saying, Dark Sakura, no projects November.
Well, I might do novel writing month, but it's more or less just a catalyst to actually get my ass in gear to put this world that I've built in onto quote paper. I am working on an urban fantasy novel. Well, not really a novel. I'm going to do it as a serial. And it's when I get everything out and get everything ready to go, it's going to be available through the Apple Bookstore and for Kindle. As soon as I get all my ducks in a row, there'll be more about that. But I'm announcing it here now. I'm writing a book, a serial series.
What is that? Nanarimo or whatever they call it? Nanorimo?
Yeah, National Novel Writing Month. But I'm only using that as a catalyst. I'm not doing a full novel. I'm doing them as a serial series.
I've also heard of Nano Podmo, which is do a podcast every day for a month. I've heard of that. I've thought about participating, but that's a lot of podcasts, and it would have to be a separate feed because I it's not going to happen on OLR or anything like that. But personal thing. But I don't know if I would have put it together that fast. We'll see.
No, we'll see. I don't think I could do anything like that with a lot of, a lot of crap. And Tiger Claw says that I'm going to be a superstar author and my books are going to get turned into movies. You don't want to know the weird shit that goes in my head that I'm thinking about putting into a book. But I will tell people that the apocalypse is not what you think it is. We could be living through one right now. It's not at all what
Aren't
people
we?
Think it is. Post-apocalyptic is a genre for a different world. You know, don't take that. Why would I write a Garrus Spock fanfic?
That's not a novel.
I do not write Slash. Okay. I don't. I'm asexual. I don't like writing that stuff. But anyway, but I'll have more about it as stuff comes out. There'll be things, and of course I'll blog about it because I blog about every fucking thing now.
All right, That's fair enough. Well, let's move on to Loki. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Well, let's see. My gaming week was not playing games, and it was just working on my game. And that's pretty much what's going on. I'm still not working. It's still not working. It's just frustrating me so much. So I've been working on a random spawning generator, and I've run into issues still.
Okay.
It's been a fight for the last 5 days. So that's been my week. I played some Morna as well, but mostly just working on coding the entire time.
Fair enough.
Fighting.
It
should be simple, but it's not working.
I look forward to when we can finally play this game, so I'm excited.
Yep.
All right. Good luck with all the bumps in the road. So my gaming week has been kind of, you know, samey as previous weeks. We already talked about WoW. I already mentioned that. Final Fantasy XIV still going. This was the week, so a couple nights ago, I finally hit level 80, max level cap on every single crafting and gathering class. So there's like 8 crafting classes, alchemy, carpentry, and so on, those types of things. And then 3 gathering classes, fishing, botany, mining. I hit 80 in all of them. So, and what do I get for that? I feel real
candy
good.
Candy corn.
Exactly. Ooh, I hope so, because I actually
I'll
like candy corn.
I'll drop some candy corn on your doorstep. Someone posted turkey dinner candy corn, and I was alarmed.
I don't know about that, but they do like the maple candy corn. They have like other flavors this time of year, and I like the candy everybody hates. I like black jelly beans because I like licorice. I like it. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
You and Dan can have all of that. But maybe I'll make candy corn cookies again this year. They're kind of hard to do because the candy crystallizes, you know, into sheet candy if it's exposed out of the dough. So we'll see what happens.
You know, the other thing, I know you're going to hate this, Jamie. Plug your ears. I'm sorry. But the other big, big candy that I love that everybody hates, circus peanuts. Love them. They're great.
You can have them.
Okay, yeah.
Just don't eat them in front of me because I will vomit.
That's fine. I would honestly have those than like a Hershey's bar, really. Anyway, all right. So there you go. Happy Halloween.
I will get
boo.
You peeps, and that's all you get.
All right. Let's see. So also for my gaming week, I've been playing. So there was a couple new things. I played that demo. So I guess I'm going to talk about this. I don't think I actually put this item in our news, but I'll talk about it a little early. So Google Stadia had a big thing, and I know that's coming up later in the news, an event where they were talking about some new things that are coming. And one of the things they talked about was a Pac-Man style battle royale game that's coming out first on Stadia. And there's a demo you can actually play online right now, and you can check it out. And so I was like, why not? I'm going to go check it out. So I played it a little bit, and it seems to be a pretty feature-filled demo, meaning you can pretty much play a match start to finish. I don't know what I'm assuming the full game will have more customizations and other things you do. And I know the demo is also time limited. Like, you can do it until October 27th. So I feel like, because I don't always love to talk about demos as a review, but I do feel like this demo is intentionally set up to be pretty full-featured. It's not good. It's not fun. It's Pac-Man. Here's the problem with it. Like, Pac-Man is a good game. That's fine. But look at how Pac-Man's really evolved over the years, right? And the last few releases in the Pac-Man universe have been things like Pac-Man Championship Edition, Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. Those games are pretty fun. The music's great. They're pretty fast-paced. It's intense. They're fun to play. This Pac-Man Tunnel Battle Royale thing, whatever it's called, I don't even remember the name of it. It's you. Here's the thing. I'm not even sure I understand what the fuck's going on, which is one problem I have with it. But basically, you're playing Pac-Man. It's cartoony. It's cute. You can customize a lot. I guess that's a plus. But the whole catch is you can open up the gates, and instead of doing a tunnel to the other side of your map, you do a tunnel into someone else's map. Don't know why. I mean, you, I guess, technically can eat a power pellet and try to kill them. You can also take points and ghosts and stuff away from them. But it's not interesting at all. It's not. They tried to put some more power-ups in the game to mix it up a little bit, like something that will make ghosts repel from you and do something. It's a step backwards for Pac-Man. And I'm going to tell you what, I've come on this show and talked about, I like Pac-Man Championship Edition. I liked Pac-Man Chip Edition 2 a lot more than most reviewers did. As much as the random ghost train on rail thing kind of bugged me too, I felt the style and substance and the way it kind of changed the game and the kind of the, just the joy I get out of playing it, I kind of felt balanced out some of those things. Here, it was just not interesting at all. I don't know what else to say. Like, let's see. I'm looking in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And Bobby is talking about, if you take just the technology of the streaming 4K with low latency and that Wi-Fi controller, Stadia is amazing and wonderful. The problem is the service that is Stadia negates all the great tech. I got to admit, it played all right, but it didn't play as well as when I was playing like Destiny 2 and stuff. I was getting more artifacting on fucking Pac-Man than I was when I was playing like Destiny. Maybe that's just the nature of my connection today or what have you. I don't know if Alan was streaming something at the same time or what, but it just, wow. Questbuster says, I spectated a few games of that on Stadia and it was more Pac-Man. I didn't really feel compelled to play it though. Exactly. Here's the thing, and here's why I'm so negative on it, is that obviously when we heard about this, we saw, oh, it's Pac-Man, but it's a battle royale. That's it. That's what they did. I got nothing. Like, it's the most basic-ass fucking game. If Pumpkin Spice were a video game, it would be this. That is how basic it is.
But you like Pumpkin Spice.
That's right. I usually will defend Pumpkin Spice, but I can't. It's really bad, you guys. And this is a demo. This is what they're trying to put out to save Stadia.
Should we start playing Taps already?
Wait till the next segment. So that was the Pac-Man game. I'm sorry. I really want to love the game because I loved Pac-Man Champion. I just don't. It's not good. So let's see. What else did I play this week? I felt like there was one other game, but I'm so bent on that, out of shape on that game. I can't even remember what it was. I did play a little more Hades. Oh, I know the game. I went into the Super Nintendo emulator on the official one on the Switch, Nintendo Online, and I started playing Mario's P-Cross because P-Cross is very zen and relaxing and kind of fun, and I enjoy it. So I played all of round one on the Mario side, plot twist, minor spoiler alert. So I did all of that. So, and that was more fun than Pac-Man. All right, let's get into some news. I don't think I have anything else to discuss. That's about it. So let's get into what else is going on in the gaming world in the news. So Loki, why don't you start us off?
Yes, let's talk about some more Stadia stuff. So There was some interesting tweet exchanges going on with the creative director at Typhoon Studios, Alex Hutchinson, who has, of course, their studio was bought by Google's by Google last year and is actually making Stadia games. He brought the wonderful hot take that, you know what, talking about, you know, all these DMCA things that are going on with the music and stuff on Twitch. He also brought up the thing saying, hey, streamers worried about getting their content pulled because they use music and didn't pay for should be more worried by the fact that they're streaming games they didn't pay for as well. It's all gone as soon as the publisher decides to enforce it. The real truth is streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any real business and pay for the content they use. Well, of course, that was received very well by everybody, and no one had any issues with it. Of course, everybody had issues with it, and there's a lot of interesting feedback. This is also the same guy that was complaining a while back about how he felt that Japanese games get kind of a pass by media outlets when they're reviewing them versus American games, because he was the creative director at on Assassin's Creed 3 at one time as well, you know, comparing his games to, you know, basically like Super Mario Brothers or stuff like that. He's like, why do they get to make games and the same thing? And people just kind of love those. It must be because there's some sort of subtle racism in the business on the journalist side. So, yeah, he's full of hot takes. Of course, nobody liked it. Everybody hated it.
No, and nobody. Then, you sound like a Telltale game. It just popped up in the corner. Nobody liked that.
Yeah, so Google, of course, you know, basically saying, hey, the recent tweets by Alex Hutchinson, creative director at Montreal Studio of Stadia Games and Entertainment, do not reflect those of Stadia, YouTube, or Google. Yeah, but you know what? He's representing a company. He's one of your...
I don't know if you'd say he misrepresented himself. I kind of think that's a accurate way to say it. But let's see. So it says creative director at SG&E Montreal Studio is what it says now, but that's not what it said before. It said creative director at Google Stadia is what it said before.
Yeah.
So he changed it.
So to kind of pick it apart, obviously, it's a weird take from somebody that's making Stadia games on a device that literally one of the features that, hey, you can stream your games on YouTube straight out of, you know, straight up using this service. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, as it is, it's hard enough to sell Stadia as like a device that people want to use because of their service and just the way it's structured. It's not very good.
Yeah.
And now you have somebody that's like, you know, you should be paying us because we're so good. I'm sorry. No, no, that's not it. I understand the argument, but it's also, you know, it's a bad take. It's just like, there's a lot of companies right now, especially with, like, you know, the new Xbox and the new PlayStation systems coming out, that they're engaging with streamers to get the hype out about, you know, those systems. They're paying them, and, you know, obviously there's this kind of synergy between, you know, content creators and these hardware platforms or even software platforms to be able to promote their stuff. And I'm sorry that he doesn't get that. Yeah,
Your cat Stella has a hot take on what this guy had to say.
She's just being irritating. She wants more treats. She's been receiving treats all day long, and she knows I'm on a call. So, like, obviously,
now's the time.
Screaming.
That's the time. Yeah, I agree with Bobby in chat, who's basically saying he'll be fine. People will forget his comments soon, and he'll still be working in the game industry. I agree. Like, people, it's going to blow over. It is. But this is one of those things where I don't think it's so much about what he said, but it's how you say it. And I think he just came off as, like, so smug. And so, and I would like to compliment myself, because I felt my drags in response on Twitter were really good. I'd like to share them with you now. So in response, I wrote, people can't stream Google Stadia effectively because they need that bandwidth to play the games. And how's that lack of community for your product working out in sales? I thought that was a good drag. Now,
well, there is like some digs that he made against like Giant Bomb and stuff like that. And it's like, you know,
here's the thing. And I'm going to elaborate on this tweet too. While I agree, and this is my tweet, while I agree something like a jukebox license should exist for streamers, and I'd be open to some sort of revenue share with developers, these industries are too slow to come up with something, just like Google Stadia was too slow to release outside Chromecast before xCloud and Luna. You work in tech, for Christ's sake, evolve or die. And that is basically what it is for me. And I actually don't necessarily disagree that the clock is ticking in of sorts for when are some video game companies going to start to say, maybe we don't want you streaming our game. And to be fair, that has already happened to some extent on YouTube, right? We've heard about companies leveraging that DMCA to get certain videos taken down. Nintendo didn't have a great take on this in the beginning either.
They took that approach. Nintendo took that approach. They thought that you were playing their games. You should pay them for the right to do that online. And that's the approach that they took. And they did that, and obviously they backed away from it. So it wasn't working out well for them, I would assume, because it's either it shines poorly on them, like that they're not embracing their community, or that the money wasn't worth it. I don't know, whatever the case may be, they backed away from it for a reason. So just, you know, let's just say, for example, that this Stadia studio or whatever wants to take that approach, which is really stupid on their device that has that built in. So let's just say they're stupid enough to do that. There are tons of other companies out there that will let you play their games for free.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the developers behind Among Us probably don't care. So if you have these companies, that's fine. You know, these AAA studios can go ahead and take that stance and do that. But there's always going to be independent developers or even AAA studios that don't share that same opinion. And I'm sorry, but eventually, you'll find that your games get less exposure because you're putting up roadblocks. So
I actually kind of agree with you for the most part on this. I think it's one of those, and that's why I'm kind of like, it would be nice if they would come up with something, a fair system, so that if a developer wants, they can get a cut of profits. Now, I believe, before you all start dragging me, I believe it should be at a threshold. I don't think somebody who's making, the bare minimum to be an affiliate on Twitch and bringing in simple dollars and cents every month on Twitch should be somebody that should be subject to those type of guidelines. But I think once you hit a certain threshold and you're at these, I'm making a living off of it type of things, I think there maybe is room for a conversation about what should a developer be entitled to in those cases. But, and this is where I agree with Loki, I think a developer should have the right to say, we want you to be able to stream this for free. We're not interested in claiming that. We want to encourage you to stream our game by doing that. And I think if you do that, then I think the rest of what Loki says absolutely comes true, is that the streaming market starts to gravitate towards those games and the market kind of works itself out. But I do think we need to have a little more definitive guidance in a legal sense so that this isn't such a gray area anymore. Because unfortunately, even though the way he said it was kind of crappy, where he's, especially as somebody who works in the game industry, he did have a point. If these guys, if the game makers want to come in and start shutting things down, they could. And I'll tell you, with all that stuff,
Let them try.
Yeah.
Just let them try.
Well, Nintendo did. Nintendo did. And they maybe not on Twitch, but they did on YouTube. But I also think, so everything I just said, Loki, because here's the thing. It's funny. Nintendo is always the rule breaker, and I think this would be no different. I think if rules were to be set, I think Nintendo would be like, oh, yeah, we're claiming max share. And I really think Nintendo fans... I'm sorry, but Nintendo fans wouldn't care, because Nintendo fans are willing to die on their sword for Nintendo. Most. I just feel like that, again, would be an anomaly. But at least we'd have an answer. And at least we wouldn't be sitting here saying, it's a gray area. It would no longer be a gray area. But the problem is, Sorry, Loki. The problem is, it's a callback, because go back to what we were just talking about at the top of the show with AOC and her live stream. No matter how you feel about AOC, and I think, Loki, it was you that said it felt a lot better than just a bunch of old people standing around talking about politics that's not very interesting. And I think that's it. That's the disconnect. We need people like AOC and fight. Let's say Justin Amash, too, because he's on the right. Fine. Let them come together. We need these younger folks that get it to come together and talk about trademark laws and rule copyright and modernizing these types of things for what makes sense in the year 2020.
The whole DMCA needs to be rewritten, and whole copyright law needs to be rewritten anyways. It's just well outdated. It's been driven by Disney exploited by Disney in degree. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so it needs to be modernized and, you know, put in place to where fair use is actually something that is considered. Because I know it is written in that they have to consider fair use, but they don't, because there's no sort of punishment if a big company, like, say, you know, Warner Music doesn't follow fair use, because what are you gonna do, you little individual person that has no money? You're gonna fight a huge corporation? There's no sorts of, you know, repercussion for them. So
Loki,
the laws need to be rewritten.
Loki, I do want to jump in, because the live fact checking that happens in our chat room, this is worth saying, like, what company has done it? And actually a couple people, Act Deft and Bobby, both chiming in. Atlas did it with Persona. If you went too far into Persona, they DMCA'd people. It's only one example that we can really think of in recent memory, but it has happened. So there is proof that companies will use it if they feel like they need to. So, I don't know. Dark Sakura, what do you think the rules should be? Or do you think, where's your head at with all this? Do you think game companies should be entitled to some money? Do you think it's too far gone? Do we need to have a conversation? What's your opinion?
I think, if anything, that the places that offer the streaming service need to have some sort of licensing deal with some of these companies, I think, on behalf of the users. I mean, users are getting a kick in for, you know, like, sort of direct payments, but there's also the subscriber fees and everything. The more subscribers, you know, if anything, maybe bump up a subscription by $1, have that go into paying licensing charges, and keep it off of the people who are providing the content.
Yeah. Or how about, let's not pay these companies any more money, because they're already making tons of money from all the microtransactions and stuff that they're throwing in, and pretending these multi-billion-dollar companies.
It's not all of them. There are other companies that would benefit from having a deal like that.
I understand that, but the ones that are complaining about it, Google, or I should say this developer of Google, it's owned by Google, whatever. I'm going to lump them in, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies that are complaining that they are not receiving enough money for their games. That's why they're charging $70 for their brand new games with multiple season passes and DLC on top of that, and special editions on top of that, and cosmetics on top of all of that. I mean, like, I can't feel bad for you when you're giving your CEO several hundred millions of dollars. It's or tens of millions of dollars, you know, as a bonus. Sorry, don't feel bad for you. So, no, I don't think you need to make more money, especially, you know, gatekeeping this stuff. And if you really want to do that, I'm sorry, but there's plenty of other companies out there that won't necessarily go that route. And they could go very well the same way as Twitch, where Twitch has, like, kind of this whitelisted music selection that you can choose from. Then you can have a whitelisted game selection you can choose from.
Well, let's come back to the
music. I was still making a point before.
Yeah.
Saying that I still stand by what I said. It's a way to get the big companies off of people's back, and it's a way to offer freedom for the streamers that want to do. I mean, the big companies are going to do what they can to be richer and richer. That's all there is to it. My point is, living in the real world, we should have a way that they get, you know, their little, 2 cents on every game that's played on a stream, and stay off of the player's backs.
And realistically. That's kind of where I think there is an intersection here where you guys actually really do agree, because it's where I'm at too, and that is we've got to get out of this gray area. That is and that is what it is. We may not ultimately like the result, but and what you're saying, Jamie, it's going to get us out of the gray area. And that's the most important thing. And I totally agree with that. Now,
like with music streaming services, for example,
right?
All these companies, they do pay licensing fees to, you know, whatever the production company, et cetera, you know, who owns the rights to the music, whatever publisher. It's going to be this. I think it's going to be the same thing. You know, you have that one licensing charge that they have with major companies. You know, maybe have a coalition though for the independent ones, have like some sort of deal with them, have them say, well, I want to step in and get a little bit off, you know, for my game, so they sign into this, you know, agreement or whatever they can afford to do. But you know, it's like ActDef just said in chat, the companies only care about money. So give them something to shut them the fuck up and let us have our games.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up as a solution, because I really think, now going back to the music side of things, I think the music industry, of course, as always, is being slow to evolve and ridiculous and really short-sighted and losing potential
and
money
petty.
By not, and not even the cool kind of petty like Lori Petty, but they are like being really ridiculous in not offering something similar to a jukebox license so that streamers can just have music in the backgrounds of their streams and not have to worry about it. Something similar to what, you know, like a small business or, you know, like a small streamer license, you know, and maybe it's not going to be the type of money that everybody's going to want to pay, but at least, again, you'd have something to get you out of that gray area. Anyway.
Well,
all right.
In a perfect world, these companies would actually be held accountable for paying their taxes,
mm-hmm.
saying the, you know, people who make stupid amounts of money over $400,000, you know, a year, they would get taxed. So I'm just saying, you know, this goes into a bigger picture. We may be looking at it as this being one symptom of a problem, but we've got a bigger picture that will be solved by voting. Just saying.
Loki, I'm going to do something a little weird here and go out of order, because it just makes no sense to not pair this with your next story. Can we hop ahead to the other story
yep.
about Twitch? I'm sorry. It just makes sense to couple this here.
I'm just so unprepared.
We're having this discussion already. We got to bring this up.
So bringing up the RIAA, of course, there was this huge, massive DMCA purge, and it's by Twitch. The issue is, it's kind of a compound issue. So one, apparently Twitch was receiving, I think, these DMCA takedown notices for a while now. They've been backing up since the summer, and now they just sent out information to streamers letting them know that one of your pieces of content has, you know, a piece of music or whatever in it that's been hit by this, and you need to delete it. And if you don't know which one it is, well, just delete all of them. Because they're not going to tell you which one it is.
Which people are doing.
Which is ridiculous and stupid. Like, just incredibly stupid. Yeah, but apparently, yeah, these claims have gone back since the beginning of, back in June.
Yeah.
That they were happening, and they finally got around in, which, I mean, clearly they're not following, you know, Twitch is not following the law here. Could make them lose their safe harbor status, being that they've waited so long to respond to these claims. But yeah, it's just, it's a problem, because they're going to have, people are having to mass delete these videos. All their VODs and everything are going to be gone because they don't know which clip it is that they're claiming, which I also think is not necessarily following the rule of the law for DMCA on this stuff. So I don't know. I haven't gotten a strike, so
yeah,
at least I'm aware of.
Just for the record, Vogue Network did not receive one of these, and I didn't get one on my personal channel either. But I've generally been pretty aware about this type of thing, and I've kind of, you know, I just kind of know, like, okay, if I play something like Forza Horizon, I'm going to play on the classical music station that's not going to get, you know, striked. I don't do the whole, like, Spotify, iTunes, whatever, playing potpourri in the background. I don't really do that. It's usually always the music in the game. Unfortunately, and I'm kind of with Black and Pat had a comment earlier. I was going to read. Oh yeah, I've been looking forward to playing Harmonix's new game Fuser when it comes out next month. Me too. But I know I won't be able to play it on stream because I'll be DMCA'd within an inch of our life. Yeah, totally. Where I'm at as well. So yeah, and Bobby says technically they could still strike the classical music station because it's the recording that's copywritten, and the classical music station does have music written in the 20th century. So fair point, but I've been okay. I did not get hit with one of these, knock on wood. But I would do that. Who's going to watch my Forza Horizon 4 stream from like 3 years ago? Like, I would do the same thing other people are doing, and if I started getting these notices, I'd probably just delete everything. Which sucks. But yeah. So, Orange Rice says I didn't get the email either. Interesting. I wanted to read this from Questbuster because I thought this was very interesting that I wasn't even aware of this. As a side note, Facebook Gaming already has licensing details with the likes of Universal, Sony, and BMG to allow their streamers to play music during their streams, at least those that have partner status. Still, it's something that's better than nothing, even though it's Facebook. Very well said. But it also does show that the platform, i.e. Twitch, could negotiate something at that level if they wanted to. But Twitch seems to be a little more on this whole, which isn't necessarily bad. Like, I'm not critical of this, but is on this more, we're doing this Twitch safe label with indie stuff, and because that's what they want to push. And we all know that that type of thing is going to be cheaper. But who am I to complain about them wanting to push indie music? I don't think that's such a bad thing. This is interesting. But the fact that you can't counterclaim some of these things and that you're not really told a lot of the reasons, that's the part that's kind of dicey and
bad. I don't
even
think that's following that. A lot of these violations.
And that falls on Twitch. That falls on Twitch.
Yeah. Not having the counterclaim process, I think it goes against DMCA as well. I think a lot of what they've done could get themselves into a lot of trouble with these music labels because they didn't follow the letter of the law. I mean, in ignoring it for 4 months, not that, I mean, they could easily be taken to court for that stuff. I think this is just trying to save face right now, but like, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine that they didn't know this was a problem.
Questbuster in chat says a number of big streamers have already said they've decided to just wipe out thousands of VODs to be safe. And to be fair, VODs aren't exactly where it's at on Twitch. Like, Twitch has not done a very good job of competing with YouTube on the VOD level. And I know it's ironic because I talk about the VODs here of the show and so forth. Yes, they are available, but they're not really that well utilized. Like, there's a couple people that will watch the VODs of this show, and I see you. Hi, thanks for being there. I appreciate it. But it's not nearly the number that watch live or that watch on the podcast feed. And I think for anything else, my personal channel things, there might be one or two people that where it's completely open. I don't have subs or anything. I might have one or two people that watch a VOD, but I have way more that watch it live. Like, Twitch's area that they are do well in is live. So maybe in a way that's what makes it easy, quote unquote, for a lot of streamers to throw things away, is because it's like, VOD isn't really where it's at anyway. It's all about getting those subscriptions and bits and so forth in a live environment, because that isn't coming in on the VODs. So Bobby in chat says even the clips aren't safe, and if there's something we do on our shows that's extremely heavy on the video, we post it to YouTube. Yeah. So, and Phoenix 7726 says this will lead to DMCA abuse. I see that coming too. So there needs to be a way to kind of respond. It took YouTube forever to get there, but at least they have something in place now. So it's, the whole thing's a little bit scary.
But not much. I mean, there's nothing that really stopped people from making false DMCA claims. So, hooray.
Yeah, very,
can't
very
wait for that.
All right, well, let's move on. I'm going to talk about the next story here, which has to do with, this is pretty exciting and something I really wish Nintendo would have embraced this stuff a lot sooner, but fine, we're here, yay. The original NES Fire Emblem game is going to get a localization and come to the U.S. for the very first time, sort of. There was a remake that happened on DS, 3DS, but this is the true original NES ROM from 1990 that's coming out, which is Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, and the Blade of Light. Interesting enough, this game is already part of the Switch Online program in Japan. So if you open up the Famicom library in Japan, which you can do even with an American account, all you need is just a Japanese account temporarily to go to the eShop and download the Famicom player. But once you do that, you're not breaking any laws doing it. The Switch is a region-free system. You can go in and play this game already with your Switch Online in Japanese. But they're going to be localizing it for the U.S., and because of that, it's not just going into the Switch Online library, which I think is going to make a lot of people frown, but they are going to sell it separately as a $6 game or $5.99. It's another limited time release, meaning you will only be able to get it through March 31st, 2021, which is a whole other, I don't understand this, outside of they are trying to inflate their, because notice that March 31st, is no coincidence. That's the end of the fiscal year. They're trying to sandbag as much as they can to sell in the fiscal, because they don't really have a gigantic holiday release to buoy them. Mario 3D All-Stars is it. And then otherwise they're relying on third parties like probably the Hyrule Warriors 2 is kind of like the other big holiday release, which really isn't their game, but it is their IP, obviously. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion. But what is pretty cool is that there's going to be a $50 physical version of this with an NES-style box, replica game cartridge, 200-page art book, and a download code, because obviously you can't just put a cartridge in your Switch. Well, I guess you can, but they're not going to bother just putting this tiny...
Is it going to be like an NES cartridge? Or like...
It's an NES-style box and replica game cartridge, so you can't actually put it... You can't actually put it in a Nintendo. It's a rep. It's for looks only. So,
okay.
Yeah. But anyway, that is, and then it's a translated game manual that you get and a fold out world map. Now for collectors, especially people that really love their 8-bit NES libraries, that part is pretty cool because that isn't even like something, oh, Limited Run Games who does these types of, Nintendo's doing it. So that's neat. I'm going to give them credit for that. But I hate the whole limited time release thing for one. I'm not as hateful on the $6 surcharge as others might be. I get that localization isn't free and they're going to need to pay people to do that and so forth. So I still think there would have been value for Nintendo to put that into Switch Online because that library is really slowing down and it's not as amazing as it used to be. But I just sat here and talked at the top of the show about playing Mario P-Cross. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. What, Loki, Dark Sakura, what do you guys think?
I'm not a fan of Fire Emblem, so yeah. Where's my other three?
I'm probably gonna get it just to have it. Yeah. For reasons. Dan likes Fire Emblem, so we'll see.
Yeah. I'm also just not as big on Fire Emblem as a series, but I'm really happy for those people that are. Like, I'm not a hater either. But yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that's like, so if this does well, does this mean Mother 3? That's I'm definitely in that game.
Never going to get you what you want.
I know.
They're gonna
for the record,
Pikmin
Rob,
release.
I have a translated cartridge for Mother 3
They're out there, but I would love to see Nintendo embrace it, you know. That's the thing.
I'm just joking. I've never played any of the Earthbound series, so
you should.
What do I care about Mother 3?
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I think the surcharge is for the added features. They're adding more in-game options like rewinding a turn, so it's not just the straight ROM. You could, like, the online emulator, you can do a rewind. I'm not sure it's this, like, even in the Japanese Famicom, you can do, like, a rewind. I'm not sure it's implemented the same way, so I'll give you that. But, I'm actually not upset about the $6 surcharge. Like, I get it. There's things that go into it. But I also think Nintendo could have weighed, would there have been value in just putting it in the library anyway and not doing a surcharge? But that was their decision to make, I think. So, interesting. And Bobby says it's literally in the in-game menus. So it's like a actual feature in the game. Now, that makes me wonder, how far along was this game localized already? Because, you know, with those hacks and things that happened, I get it. It's a shady, shady, slippery slope. But we know that there are things that Nintendo started to localize that they pulled back on for whatever reason. These things happen in the gaming industry all the time. And Nintendo themselves embraced it years ago with the Earthbound Zero release on Wii U. Remember that? That was also pretty cool. And I don't know why the fuck that's not on Switch still, but okay. So Nintendo was not exactly a stranger to putting these things out. It's just interesting. That's all. So anyway. All right, let's move on, because this is also about the Switch. Dark Sakura.
Well, some good news since, you know, a lot of us have been dealing with Joy-Con drift, which I still need to call to get mine taken care of, is that Nintendo is dropping the price of a single Joy-Con controller from where it was before for $49.99 and is now $39.99. So it's only a $10 drop, but it is something. It's going to be available starting on November 9th. And they are also specifically discounting two specific models. So it's the right Joy-Con red and the left Joy-Con blue. So it's the, you know, the same ones that were included in the default with one of the original releases of the Switch. And they are still offering free repairs, so I need to look into, you know, that as well. There is not a price change for the full set of controllers. However, it looks like Amazon might be having a sale for $69.99 instead of $79.99. So there is that. So there you go. It is what it is.
As SSGO100 Matt in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, so the prices are drifting down?
That is not funny. You of the dad jokes, no.
Sorry. Did Drew go out to visit SSGO100 Matt? Like, what's happening here? All right. Okay. So anyway.
Wompity womp.
All right. So I'm here for prices coming down, especially on really expensive Nintendo hardware. So cool. All right. Let's move on to some PlayStation news. So let's talk about Travis Scott, who's been a lot of places lately. And so I'm surprised, and I'm not surprised, to see that he is teaming up now with PlayStation. So this is Travis Scott and his brand, which is Cactus Jack, if you didn't know that already, who's also already worked with things like Tesla, Fortnite, McDonald's. Like I said, Travis Scott is not just a musician, but very much a businessman. He's in a lot of places. So it was announced this week in a interesting PlayStation video that was a ode to the Maxwell high fidelity tape sound thing. You know this. You've seen this before. It's the guy sitting in the chair and then the TV turns on and whoosh, like the sound and all that. Everybody, it's like an infamous commercial. And this was kind of a homage to that commercial. But of course, it was Travis Scott. And it also kind of puts together that, oh, is this why Travis Scott posted a DualSense 5 controller on his Instagram last month? Like, how did you get that? So it's because he is going to be working with PlayStation. Now, I'm not sure exactly how. They don't really say, like, he's, I guess, like a creative mind. But in a post on the PlayStation blog, which apparently he authored, it said, I'm really looking forward to being able to showcase everything that Cactus Jack has worked on with Sony and the PlayStation team. Most importantly, I'm excited to see how the PlayStation fans and family respond, and I look forward to running some games with everybody very soon. So we don't exactly know what that entails, but like, I could see that, you know, we know that a year after this PlayStation is out, there's going to be maybe not like a full redesign, but like a recoloring of it, right? Or like a patterned version of it, right? Because that's what happens all the time with like Xbox, but now it's a gray Xbox or a see-through Xbox or a PlayStation. It's a blue PlayStation or any of this stuff. So I'm sure this is just a matter of time before something like that. And so maybe there'll be like a Travis Scott designed or a Cactus Jack kind of PlayStation. Like, I don't know. Any thoughts from you guys on what this team up could involve for Travis? Okay, maybe not. It's all right. Loki, you're muted. That's why I'm like, pause, awkward pause.
I don't know what he would be necessarily doing. It's just usually marketing stuff. I know he does a lot of merchandise online, but I don't know. Hopefully it's better than that Mortal Kombat arcade 1-Up cabinet that we had for Supreme. Something
I don't think it'll be that. Jamie, you had a thought?
I'm more with Loki on this one. I think it's just, I don't really think it's very big.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting, you know, because I know he's most known as a musician, but again, the business side of things, like that McDonald's deal is a lot bigger than I think most people realize. And like, because, you know, he had his own meal. Like, he was actually on the menu. He could get the Travis Scott meal, and it was all in a commercial. He was narrating everything. And the whole catch was, I think the burger was customized, and the French fries came with barbecue sauce instead of ketchup, because that's how he does it. And McDonald's were running out of barbecue sauce because of that. So, I mean, his name and his endorsement obviously carries weight. Or I've always said, long before Travis Scott, that barbecue sauce is the way to go with fries. But that, I digress.
I disagree.
That's fine. Some people do ranch, because some do ketchup, some do nothing.
Mayonnaise is delicious, and ketchup is the devil.
No, that's the Nickelback meal. Blah. I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah, I'm not a mayo person, but I know that's what they do in other countries. Yes, you're right. Of course, you go over to like Europe and other places, mayo or mayo.
Hey, Rob.
No, what?
Rob,
what?
Do you like the In-N-Out sauce?
No, it's mayonnaise based.
Okay. All right. It was worth asking.
No, I don't like it at all. No, and Thousand Island, no. Aioli, no. I know all the tricks. No mayo allowed. That's what Pixel Baca says. No, I can't. Despite my love of the other weird thing, that is my weird thing. I hate mayonnaise. Hate it. But you know what I also don't like? Are McDonald's hamburgers. So I've never had a Travis Scott meal.
You know what? I think the last McDonald's hamburger I ever thought that I really liked was the Arch Deluxe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You remember the Arch Deluxe?
Yeah, I do.
Because my vegetables were not wilty pieces of shit by the time I got my burger. Bring it back.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I love dipping fries in mayo. I also don't do that in front of Rob. You have permission to dip. I don't care. You can eat mayo. Just don't do that stupid thing where, and I know you won't, Bobby, because this isn't your personality, but people in my past have done this. They dip it in the mayonnaise and they go, ooh, you want it? You want it? Eat it.
Well, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm like that, though, about ketchup.
Yeah.
If you have to dip their fries in anything, then they haven't made their fries well enough, because their fries should be just good enough as it is.
How?
The problem is, see, so the way I used to describe fast food fries with a lot of this stuff, McDonald's, their consistency, it varies a lot. It's just whether they can be really garbage or they can be really great.
If they're fresh, they're great.
But there's other, like, not even necessarily fresh. They have to be cooked the right amount of time, seasoned right, all that stuff. But like, there's other fast food chains that their fries are more consistent, but they're never going to be as good as the best.
I fucking love
fries.
In-N-Out fries.
I'm sorry. Now that we have a Shake Shack here locally,
okay, Shake Shack fries are great.
Nothing can touch those fries. Done.
But, like, no. Rob.
Huh?
Five Guys has better fries.
I didn't.
It's the peanut oil.
I didn't like the bag of grease.
No.
All right. Anyway.
However, I have found an ultimate fry replacement. Even my delicious sweet potato fries have been bested by the Habit's tempura green beans. Really fucking good.
Some of you on the East Coast will get a kick out of this. We just got a Shake Shack here locally, like, right when the pandemic started, I think, is when they finally opened, unfortunately. So, yeah, now that's here. And, yeah, their fries are bomb. And the closest thing to it is Del Taco fries. It's the only other place I've seen do the crinkly fries. But Del Taco fries, like, as good as they are, they have a tendency to make them soggy.
They're very dry.
The one at my house
makes them very dry and flavorless. And for the record, SSJ 100, Matt, yes, if you're going to have In-N-Out fries, you have to have them animal style, because it's pretty amazing.
Nope.
You know, though, there the fries that I loved as a kid, though, were from Checkers or Rallies or whatever the fuck the company's called.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With the kind of spicy little bits to it. And Whataburger does not have the best fries. I'm sorry. Crystal's has crappy fries. I'm sorry. Because again, that's where I grew up. You know, just saying. I'm trying to think, though, where I had really good fries that... Oh, you know, I miss Steak and Shake.
Oh,
which we don't
yeah,
have
that,
here.
Not yet. It's in Steak Reno. It's in Reno. It's getting close.
Yeah, but we can't really compare curly fries because that's a whole different thing. It's, I mean, that's kind of its own thing.
Okay, I just got to say, though, it's interesting because in chat they're talking about, like, wow, I didn't know
Arby's
that...
Arby's fries are decent.
Shake Shack finally branched out there. We're all of a sudden getting these things that, like, the rest of the nation has had. Like, we just got our first Cracker Barrel, which I kind of think is overrated. But I people are into it. Cool, fine.
But it's the only place I can get good fried catfish.
Fair enough. That just happened within the past 2 years. We just got
We need Waffle House, Bobby. We need fucking Waffle House.
California will never have a Waffle House. That's already been.
And I know why.
Yeah, it's because the minimum wage thing.
Our minimum wage is higher. Exactly. Yeah.
We have some decent knockoffs, though, because since we don't have Waffle House.
Don't.
Can we get a White Castle?
No,
Rob,
that
Rob,
was disgusting.
We do not have a decent Waffle House knockoff. The end. We do not.
I don't know. I think there's an okay
we
place.
We do no. We do not. As someone who has grown up and has eaten at Waffle House,
I've eaten at Waffle House
as a child. No. You've eaten at Waffle House a couple of times. I have eaten at a Waffle House weekly as a
I'm
child.
I'm allowed to have
okay?
opinions. I'm allowed.
We
to
do
have
not.
Opinions.
You're allowed to have an opinion, but in this case, it's wrong. Waffle House does not have a West Coast equivalent. End of story.
Yeah, Carl's Jr. fries are good, but you need to have ketchup for those. But those are they redesigned their fries, and they're they're all right, but they're not as ever. They're not going to.
So our
ever
next
be
story
one
is
more,
about
one
voting.
More. Wait, one more fries, and then we can go to voting. Sia Tabiri in chat says the worst are the new KFC fries. I totally disagree. I think those KFC fries are so freaking good.
I can't make my brain know what KFC fries are like, so I can't comment on that one.
All right. But
and by the way,
your voice to vote.
So I will say that I agree with Black Compat. Waffle House does have the best grits. And my mother, bless her.
I was going to say, you cannot get those here, even at the knockoff places. So I will concede that. Really?
Rob, you can get them at my house. Because
you stole a bag or your mom got you a bag or something.
No. It's not because I stole them. If you ask behind the counter, they will sell you a bag of their quick rice grits for 99 cents. And my mother freaking sent me two bags of them. And I love them. And I will have really good butter in them. Or I will, if I'm feeling extra treif, I'll make shrimp and grits. Cheese grits too.
Isn't it amazing that we get this passionate about French fries? But when it comes to, are y'all voting?
Okay, so now that we've gotten everyone's passions all built up,
use that
voting.
Voice.
We gotta now, and this is something I am ridiculously passionate about. I have been participating in SPN votes. I've been working with vote.org. I've been trying to spread the word on my social media as much as I can. So I'm super happy to hear that more in the gaming industry is stepping up and offering up now a voting location. You know, we've got states like, what the fuck were they thinking, Texas, with, you know, only allowing like one voting location per district or something like that.
The lines I'm seeing online from our listeners, and I'm seeing on their Twitters and things, it blows my mind. Sorry, listeners. You know that we just got mailed ballots, filled them out, and dropped them off at the library, at the grocery store.
Or
mail them in. Any type of... Now, there was that whole scandal about the official drop box versus the not official ones. We won't go there. But
And the GOP is completely unrepentant.
If you look in the with your ballot, it tells you where you can drop them off. So I was like, okay, the library nearby, okay, that's where I'm going to go because that is an official one. I know it. So
and
that's what I did.
You can check it online, and mine's already been accepted. So
anyway,
back to the story.
The lines are blowing my mind. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, they are. And by the way, I actually do have to give some kudos to a couple of rather famous people that I follow on social media who stood in line on purpose in solidarity.
Good.
So, but anyway, 100 Thieves has turned their home office in Los Angeles into a voting center. They basically were saying that their 100 Thieves Cash App compound, which is a 15,000 square foot building opened earlier in the year, is now serving as an LA County voting center, and it's open for early voters starting on October 30th through November 2nd and on Election Day, November 3rd. And they also partnered with a graffiti artist, goes by Slick, to have a mural on the building that says "Vote." It's kind of in Mickey Mouse hands, you know. But then it's going to change to "We voted on November 2nd." They are going to follow all the safety guidelines. Voters will have to be masked and gloved and practicing social distancing. For those in the area, it is at 6050 Jefferson Boulevard, Los Angeles. And so I really think that it's great. You know, they're known for their professional teams for League of Legends, Fortnite, Valorant. You know, I think that this is really good that they are using their location and their voices to encourage others to vote, because we do have a lot of damage that needs to be corrected. And it's awesome that they're doing that.
It is awesome that they're doing it. I don't want to lessen it. My gut reaction, though, is like, dang, it's too bad that they're not in New York or Georgia or one of these places that I'm seeing the crazy lines, because California, again, it's every county now. It does what this county's been doing for years with the mail-in thing. And so technically, they don't really need it, but it's nice to have options, and anything that'll get more people to vote is a good thing. I don't want to lessen that. But I was like, dang, too bad it wasn't in Georgia or, you know, New York or what are the other places?
Well, that's why I think it's good they are doing this, because they are setting a example.
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah. If they can do this, why can't other places? There's, you know, we have companies all over, you know, the nation, not necessarily, you know, centralized in California. And on top of that, you know, there are other major tech businesses that could stand to do the same thing, you know, call center campuses. I think that they should be allowed to set up for the same thing for some of our major companies. We were blessed. We were very fortunate that we could do a mail-in drop-off.
Yeah.
But a lot of, and I'm just going to go out and say it, a lot of red states are actively working on their voter suppression, because they know that that it can switch. They could at least, you know, hang out in the purple region for a little while. But they know that the tide is changing, that people's opinions are changing, and have really restricted voters. So I think that we need more companies stepping up and adding this kind of availability for people.
Now, Bobby Blackwolf does want to correct, because I kept bringing up Georgia because I was seeing videos from there. But Bobby does say, hi, Georgia resident. Lines are better now. The reason you saw the long lines on day one was because it was Columbus or Indigenous Peoples Day, so people had the day off. The lines are about 30 to 45 minutes now. See, what's interesting, though, like, I got to be completely honest. Even when I hear 30 to 45 minutes, I'm like, oh, that stinks. Like, I just filled mine out at home while I was watching Twitch, and then just ran it by the library. That's it. That's all I did. So I'm not trying to be like, yay me, boo you, but I got to admit, like, I'm like, why can't every state just do it this way? More people would vote. But yeah, Jamie is right on. It's unfortunately, some people are afraid that if it goes that way, then the elections will turn out differently. And that's unfortunate.
So. Well, and I think the big thing with Texas, too, is that there was I with the caveat, do not rely on the polls for your decision, because we saw what happened in 2016.
Don't do that. Yeah.
But they are seeing that. Well, and Hot Pockery, by the way, Austin is like mini California. I'm just saying. You know, Austin is this little blue pocket in the middle of a sea of red. And so, you know, which honestly, if there was anywhere in the South that I would move back to, it would be Austin. In a heartbeat, I would live in Austin. I would never move back to Mobile, I'm just saying. But back to what I was saying, you know, is that they know that the state is already starting to shift to blue overall. And they're afraid. They're afraid that it's like that with any kind of way of life. We even see it in evolution, you know, that the whatever the newer species is, the newer way of thought is always going to be attacked on by the older. And so, you know, this is more important than ever. I'm glad that we're seeing more turnout than ever before. Texas's turnout was pretty insane already. I've been watching the numbers on some of the polls I've been watching for the state, just because I have friends that live there. And so I think it's amazing. But yeah, we need more companies doing this, and we need them to be allowed to do this.
Jamie,
that's why our vote is even more important.
And I got to say, and one message, you know, as despite I'm sitting here going, oh, I just was able to drop off my ballot at the library. I really salute those of you out there that are waiting in line. And please, that's why I was been harping on last week's show and the week before and before that, make a voting plan. That's why I say that, because, you know, when I say plan, you might have to plan to wait 2.5 hours to vote somewhere, or whatever it is, even longer, depending on where you're at. So I really salute those of you that are getting in line to do it. And I'm tipping my hat to you. Like, Jamie, do you know of any, like, can since I am in California and I'm spoiled with the mail-in thing, can I, like, buy those people coffee somehow? Like, is there an organization that, like,
yeah,
is that legal? I don't know if it's legal, but I would think that if there's no harm in, like, can I somehow cheer those people on?
Yeah, there are companies that are doing it anyway. However, it's illegal to do food giveaways in some places. But there are, there's like snack, what's it called? I think Snack the Vote. Pizza to the Polls.
Okay, cool.
There are places like that, but also look for some of the suggestions coming from, and it's a group that I'm involved with very recently, is randomacts.org. It's a Random Acts of Kindness. And they're a nonprofit that's dedicated to doing kindness in the world, just making the world a better place. And I know people on there have been working on gathering together, working with some of the food banks, working with, you know, some of the COVID support. And I think that there's some people with Random Acts who might have been trying to band together to do some things in their name. But on top of that, anyway, I just say, you know, if you see people in line, you know, bring out a bunch of, you know, protein bars, bring water with you. You know, if someone says, hey, you can't do that, go away. Well, even if you've given out 5 bottles of water to somebody, you've done a kindness and you've helped encourage them.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's move on. But please vote. So that's the message. All right. Let's talk about this next story. And I think, Loki, we're back to you.
All right.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, okay. We are. Sorry, yeah. I'm backwards.
Okay, cool. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about more streaming stuff. So, you know, we talked a little bit about how Google Stadia has, well, it had support for some of their streaming sticks, but not all of them, unfortunately. But what's kind of fun is seeing what may be coming for Xbox Games Pass. So, for example, one of the things that's being teased is that there may be a bundle with a TV streaming stick to be able to stream Game Pass via like an HDMI device that you would plug into your TV, you know, similar to Amazon Fire or a Chromecast, you know, using xCloud. So it's interesting. That might be something that's coming as part of the Xbox ecosystem, but you know, what they're talking about is kind of similar to, you know, like Stadia, where, you know, you'd have a controller, you know, the Games Pass subscription, and the stick itself. So I'd be interested in seeing that. I think that'd be really cool, especially if it seems to be that they're focusing a lot on, you know, xCloud, and that would be a big way to get people into that ecosystem.
Yeah, for sure. So, and it's also interesting because it competes a little more directly with Google Stadia, perhaps, on that level.
Yeah. So, yeah, Phil Spencer basically said, I think you're going to see lower-priced hardware as part of our ecosystem when you think about streaming sticks and other things that somebody might want to just go and plug into their TV and go play xCloud. So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool to see something like that in the future. They'd be able to do that. And I would imagine that's probably, you know, very feasible considering – Android devices are able to support this. So if they can put a stick together that can handle something like that, I think it's feasible within the next probably year or so. We'll see that.
Yeah. All right.
And then, one last thing though, of course, to go along with that, I was going to say the iPhone streaming stuff as well. There's, of course, you may remember this whole thing with, you know, the App Store and wanting like separate, like a practically separate programs for each one of the games that you would stream. So now they've, I think, worked out a way to actually use so using the App Store, you can stream as well. I want to say through, it's kind of a convoluted way through the Xbox app. So you sign in with that, with your Microsoft account, and you click on the library and do all that stuff instead of a console. It's interesting to see if they're going to have like a workaround for that to be able to use it on the iPhone, but still not probably the best way to do that.
Yeah, and I think I heard one of them got taken offline as well. Like there was some type of like backdoor app or something, yeah, and they ended up taking that offline. So just wait for all those companies to work it out. If nothing else, it sounds like if they're not able to get an official app or something, it sounds like Microsoft may go the way that Luna's going and do like an integrated web app type of thing. Just they got to get the technology working first. So it's only a matter of time before, you know, it comes to iPhone one way or another. So.
Yeah, so with workarounds right now in place, you know, you can try that. But I think if they're going to, go through like the web browser or something like that, then that would be probably the best way to do it. Unless they can get, you know, Apple to agree to allow them to put it on the store in its current state.
All right. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about a game that we never shut up about, even though it never came out. It was just a demo of a game that came out, God, years and years ago. What was it? Like 5 years ago, at least 5 years ago at this point, more than that. It's a little game called PT, which, of course, was the playable teaser for what would eventually or supposed to be a Silent Hills game that, of course, didn't end up happening due to Hideo Kojima leaving Konami and so on and so on. So with all the games, and I think this came up last week, we were talking about that there's only 10 games that are not going to be backwards compatible on PlayStation 5, according to Sony. So this leaves people asking, does this mean PT is backwards compatible? So, a news outlet out there, Games Radar, contacted Konami and actually asked, can we play PT on the PlayStation 5? And the answer they got was, PT will not be available on the PlayStation Store, so users won't be able to re-download the content through the backwards compatibility feature to the PlayStation 5. Which isn't really the answer they were looking for. I can't download it anymore. But technically, if I, you know, put it on a drive and then I can move that drive over to the PlayStation 5, I should
be
able to.
They don't want you to play it. You're never going to be able to play it.
Well, I don't know if it's so much. And here's what I think is going on here. I don't know if it's so much as they don't want you to play it. I mean, yes, Konami would probably like to forget that is out there. But the reality is the answer they gave is not wrong. They don't want to endorse the methods that people are using to still play PT. They don't want to endorse that, you can download it somewhere else and use a loophole to get it on your drive and get it to work that way. That's the problem, and why Konami has to stick to this line that, no, PT is not playable on the PlayStation 5 because there's no way to download it. In their mind and in their legal, that is the answer. So I also don't necessarily think, like, I know people want to jump all over Konami, like, stop blowing smoke up our ass. Tell us what the reality is. They're not going to, because if they were to say, it works fine on PlayStation 5, bam, they just endorse these techniques people are using to play PT when the game was delisted 5 years ago. Yeah. So I think looking at the list that there's 10 games, I think we can all safely bet it's probably going to work. But will it work right? It may not. Because even the PlayStation Pro, I thought, brought some nuances to that that was kind of dicey. I don't remember. Of course, I have PlayStation Pro and was able to copy PT over because you can copy kind of like everything over. But I don't know. I can't remember. And I'd have to ask the expert if Flacco Jones was here because he knows that game in and out a lot better than I do. But I could see that there could be some problems with PlayStation 5 and the emulation. That it may not work correctly. Not all the tricks you're used to using may actually work. So we'll see. All right. Is Dark Sakura back by chance? She stepped away for a minute. Okay, she's not back, so I can't get to the next segment. So we need to buy some...
I am. I turned my thing. No, I was eating cake.
Oh.
I texted you that I was eating cake.
Important. Well, sorry, I was doing my story. Okay, back to eating cake. All right, sorry. All right. Well, I hope the cake... So the cake was not a lie.
No, it was an apple streusel cake.
Okay, because I was about the
or 15... like an apple coffee cake. It was pretty good.
The question in chat everybody's going to want to know is what kind of cake? Okay.
It was an apple coffee cake. It was delightful, and it made me remember that I've only had a half a protein shake and a sausage and some peanut butter pretzels today.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to tear you away, but it is that time to get
I finished it.
Oh, okay, good.
Look. All right.
I don't see anything.
My IKEA bowl.
All right. Let's get to the classic game of the week. Every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds the game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking this game out. But actually, in a twist for 2020, once a month, she picks a pinball game. And it's actually been a little while since we had a pinball game, because I think we did one like early September, and now we're in late October, so it's been a little bit. But Dark Sakura has picked a pinball game for us tonight. So I think, Dark Sakura, you want me to announce this by playing this actual commercial for the table, right?
Just the first part of it, yes.
Okay, let's do that. And Jamie, you're not going to be able to hear it, so I'll tell you when it's over, okay? So here we go to introduce us to the classic pinball table of the month.
Yes, it's me, the titillating temptress in the flesh, and not much else, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And tonight, I have an especially terrifying tale from those monster hitmakers of Bally. It stars my favorite actress of all time, me. And it's destined to become a true cult classic forever. Or at least until you croak, whichever comes first. But I can see you're ready for some action, so get ready to get scared stiff.
All right, Jamie, you can go. There okay. It is. Elvira, I love her. I love her. She is what I love about Halloween. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yes, the classic pinball of the month is Scared Stiff, which, I mean, how could I not?
It's perfect. It's perfect. And it's Elvira. Look, here's the funny thing. Elvira invented dad jokes. I know it doesn't make sense when I say it, but really, like, puns are her strength. And think about that Scared Stiff and Elvira.
Right, it's still her.
It's, I love it. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, and by the way, I do have a little teensy correction. The new pinball is not Scared Stiff. It is Elvira's House of Horrors. Just saying. So, it is not Scared Stiff. Anyway, Scared Stiff came out in 1996, was designed by Dennis Nordman and released by Midway as Bally. And, of course, it stars Elvira. And it is the follow-up to 1989's Elvira and the Party Monsters that was also designed by Nordman. It uses Midway's WPC 95 system. And it has this B-movie horror theme because, I mean, it's freaking Elvira. You have to go through the six tales of terror to level up the stiffometer. And you have Eyes of the Bonnie Beast, Terror from the Crate, The Stiff in the Coffin, The Monster's Lab, Night of the Leapers, and Return of the Deadheads. And of course, it does have this like interactive back box. It's really cool. It had this spider that you could spin, in different neat modes. And of course, when they exhibited the game, they had Cassandra Peterson there as Elvira to help with the promotion. And it was supposed to have some other things in there. It was supposed to have a rubber boogeyman figure that would be mounted over slingshots, and they're supposed to move forward with the kicker when the ball is hit. And the ROM actually still allows for them to dance to the music during Boogeyman Boogie mode. But it was removed because their arms were going to break off. But the code is still there, and so people have still done the mods on it. Scared Stuff is also licensed for Pinball Arcade until June 30th, 2018. So a little bit more about that. Of course, you know, we had her doing voice acting for the game. There are so many things going on with this table that it's pretty good. It's got a lot going on. And so there's also this skull pile in the upper right-hand corner of the playfield that was supposed to have light-up eyes, but the production versions did not do that, and so people have also added in After Factory LEDs. So there is a website out there, though, that is like, and it looks like one of those old web pages that was designed in, like, 1995 using AOL's, you know, designer tools, like very, very rudimentary HTML.
GeoCities.
But, maybe. But it's this guy's, like, domain and everything, so. He's got some very cool stuff on here, like some different treasures and behind-the-scenes stuff for Scared Stiff. It's just robertwinter.com/pinball/SS. And, I mean, it's just got, I mean, yeah, it's not a pretty site, but it's got some really neat things to look at, like the back glass and the differences between the different machines. And I don't normally bring up, you know, another website to talk about a game that I'm discussing, but in this case, while it's not the best site, it's got some really neat stuff on it. So I totally suggest people look at it. And it's got the rule sheets up. And, you know, we had a Scared Stiff in my house for a while, but due to COVID, no one could come over and play it with us. So there you go. It's Scared Stiff. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha.
All right. I didn't realize there were three Elvira games now.
Yeah, the current one is a Stern Pinball. And, if you watch Deadflip's channel, he's done some play on it already, I think. What's his name? Jack Danger. It looks really solid. But, I mean, I've hardly played any of the Stern ones that I haven't enjoyed as a table, even if I haven't enjoyed their theming. Scared. I mean, if I was going to do a modern pinball, I would actually have done Munsters.
Hmm.
Like that Munsters black and white LE mm-hmm. that has like a mini playfield in the middle. That is really, really cool. But I mean, we're going classics. This is a classic game, and pinball is a classic. You know, 1996, I was playing this at a bar it wasn't Solomon's that got it in. It was another place that had gotten me pinball in, and I played this probably not too long after it came out.
Nice.
And yes, Bobby, I agree. The Hot Wheels table is actually pretty decent. I have seen it in play on a live stream. I haven't been able to play it.
I will say about this table, and you can actually see this as the person is playing here on Twitch, and you probably can hear it too in the audio, especially earlier in the sequence, but jackpots are really easy to get in this game. Like, because every mode that you activate has some way to get like a jackpot, and so if you're decent enough at this game, you can just get jackpot, 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 like over and over. It's pretty, pretty interesting. So,
yeah, but the thing is that the skill is to get your multipliers with them.
Mm-hmm. But
that's
I do love this table.
I
do love this table because I love Elvira. So,
yeah, honestly, I think this one's more fun than Party Monsters. So,
yeah,
your mileage may vary.
All right, there it is. Your classic pinball of the month, Elvira, Scared Stiff. All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news and talk quickly about some other things happening around the industry. Or actually, Jamie, are you staying with us, or did you need to go partway? I can't remember.
You know, I actually, my headache has come back with a vengeance. And just to let everybody know, you know, I really wanted to stay and finish the show tonight. But I have neck pain caused by migraine or migraine caused by neck pain. So either way, I'm fucked.
Oh dear. Well, feel better.
It's okay. Thank you so much. And you know, guys, I love all of you. You're all amazing people. And a little teeny plug, if I may.
Yeah.
Don't forget that on Thursday, I am going to be a guest on Am I Mental? If you go to amimental.net, I will be talking with E, who was on the show last weekend.
Yep.
About mental health, and you know, I'm probably going to be pretty brutal on here, so you're going to see a side of me that I don't often talk about. I might talk a little bit about on the show, but I don't go off into too much detail about. So,
well, whatever
we're going to get dirty,
whatever you're comfortable with. So enjoy the show. E was a great guest. That was a good talk last week. So,
and he's a great person, a good friend, and I'm really happy we could have him, and I'm happy that I get to be on his show. So.
All right. All right, well, we'll talk to you next week. Feel better.
All right, love y'all. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, so meanwhile, just never mind the visuals here. I got to get sorted around. But perhaps we will get into some rapid-fire news, and I will have Loki start us off with rapid-fire news here while I fix the visuals.
Yeah, so a game I was talking about a lot earlier this year was What the Golf, and, of course, it being an Epic Games exclusive at the time, you could only purchase it there, but of course, after a certain amount of time, it does eventually appear on other storefronts, and this time now appearing on Steam, and with an added bonus that they've added a level editor for it. So it's a great time to go purchase it now on Steam, and you can go check it out with the level editor. And it's also on sale, so definitely go check that out as well. I'm not sure if the level editor is going to be coming to other platforms, but at the very least it's on Steam. So I may have to purchase it again. We'll see. And then, as we had talked about a while ago, that Uplay is going to be phased out in place of, let's see, Ubisoft Connect. So they've got, one of the things with Uplay that I actually kind of dug a little bit is, playing certain games, like, you know, like, for example, I used to play South Park a lot, would earn you points that you could then use to unlock, not necessarily DLC, but, like, usually, like, cosmetics in, like, things for different games.
I saw it in Just Dance. You could get some remixes that way, and little things, little costumes and things.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to do that for, like, different classes and stuff in the South Park games and stuff like that. So, with that, though, because that service is going away, they've decided to unlock all of the rewards so you can go check them out before it's finally phased out on October 29th. So you have the rest of this week to do that. So go download all those extras if you can.
Time to get out all your old Ubisoft games.
Exactly. I think I've gotten most of my stuff already, you know, because the points are pretty easy to get. So, but I still have to revisit some of the Ubisoft games. I have to go download all the like bonus things for that. So, just a reminder to go check that out. So that's pretty exciting.
It was one of those things that kind of made Uplay feel a little better than some of the other third party sign up things. Is that they kind of had that whole like achievements make you actually get tangible things from achievements, and that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was nice to have that little bonus in there, so I do appreciate that. It wasn't such a bother on, like, console when I was playing most of, you know, these games, but I know with PC, having the extra launcher kind of sucks, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about a new studio that's up and coming, Frost Giant Studios. And you probably wouldn't be surprised that when I tell you Frost Giant Studios is formed by a lot of Blizzard Entertainment. Get it? Frost Giant? Blizzard? It's hilarious. But the actual little mascot, it's not so obvious at first because the little mascot for Frost Giant is an actual little, like, Frost Giant. But anyway, it's former Blizzard folks. And look, I get it. You know, Blizzard is in an awkward place. They're not quite the cool company they used to be. Obviously, we had all those, you know, issues with the banning of the StarCraft player that was supporting Free Hong Kong last year. That was really awkward, and their response was really awkward, and like a lot of awkward things have been happening with Blizzard lately. But I suppose the good news is that, you know, Blizzard will still continue to put out their products, and you now have this Frost Giant Studios, who has raised $4.7 million to make their first game, which will be a real-time strategy game, which... Where did Blizzard get their roots? With Warcraft, Star, and I don't mean World, I mean Warcraft, 2 and 3, and then StarCraft, you know, it was really that RTS genre. So, which is interesting because I'm not usually into those kind of games, but I liked old Warcraft a lot, and I liked, I didn't really play original StarCraft. I guess I just played Warcraft 2 and original Diablo, which isn't really an RTS. I'll try this. It'll be interesting. Anyway, Tim Morton and Tim Campbell from StarCraft and Warcraft said recently in an interview that the RTS genre hasn't gotten as much attention lately, like Battle Royale shooters or console action games. But they think the RTS on the PC can still be a big part of gaming in the future. So good luck to them. I'm going to look forward to see what they have coming because that sounds pretty cool. All right. Let's talk about Pokemon Go, which has added AR mapping to their tasks.
Ingress there.
It's the same damn thing, but just the implementation's different. So you might remember, it was about 3 months ago on this show, but I was talking about the cemetery creeping, which I did pull back on a lot between the heat and the smoke from all the fires. I wasn't really able to go out on the weekends as much. And I just, since I got back, from being gone a couple weeks ago, I just haven't gotten out this weekend or last weekend, but I want to go out and do that more because that's kind of fun. So you might remember I talked about that on the show, like where I was scanning portals. Well, guess what? That is now just in Pokemon Go. But it's been in there for like a month, but there was no reason to scan. There was no motivation or anything. So Pokemon Go, Niantic, they actually added some incentives. So there's some tasks that you can get called AR mapping. And then if you do the actual little scan of the portal, you might get a cool little reward like 10 Pokeballs or whatever it is. Of course, when I was reading Reddit, some people are already kind of fucking with this. Like when they get a task, they'll just scan the ground or something, which is like not what you're supposed to do. But I guess if Niantic doesn't quality check, then I guess people are going to do that. Although I will say, now I don't know if this is in Pokemon Go yet, but I will say in Ingress, in the last patch for Ingress, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, they actually made it so that the scan will detect motion. And if you don't move, you won't be able to finish the scan, and you have to have well-lit conditions. So if it's too dark, or dark, so dark it can't see the portal, which happened to me the other night. I was at a park, and sundown is just happening earlier and earlier, so we're getting later in the year. So I could not actually scan anymore at the park because the game said it's too dark out. I don't know if those fail safes are in Pokemon Go because I haven't been scanning. Okay, S-Jonehunter Matt says it is in Pogo. It won't accept the scan unless you move around. Thank you, because I haven't been doing it because I'm already doing it in Ingress. I just wish my Ingress credits would come over to Pokemon Go. But what's interesting is that you can see some stops and gyms have the tasks, but not all of them do. And I, like, for instance, one right by my house doesn't have the task. Well, I'll tell you why it doesn't have the task. I've scanned that fucking thing lots of times. It doesn't need anymore. And not just me, but people that wanted to knock me off as scout controller, and other people on my team as well, who just were nearby, and because sometimes we get together and exchange gear and stuff, and so they wanted to scan it as well. That is probably why it doesn't show up as a place that you can do scanning in Pokemon Go. I just thought that was interesting. So if something by your house doesn't have a task available, somebody from Ingress probably already scanned it a ton already. But I'll tell you, hardly anyone's doing it in Ingress either, because the rewards in Ingress are minimal. It's like a badge. You don't even get gear or nothing. So it's a little silly. All right. Hot Pucketry in chat says, bring a flashlight. I tried to use the one on my phone, but it wouldn't work. I didn't think to bring a separate one. I didn't think I'd need it. So, all right. Let's move on. Jamie had some stories too. Are you able to do these, Loki, or you want me to do them? I don't care.
Yeah, I can talk about them.
Okay.
So apparently, let's see, there's a new, as with all times of the year, Humble has some new, a Halloween sale kind of going on there. So, of course, discounting lots of different Halloween games. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of different storefronts that are doing similar things. I know Epic had something marked down. I'm sure PlayStation Store did. Kind of everybody's discounting all the Halloween themed stuff. So, of course, Resident Evil 7, Batman Arkham Knight, Arkham City, all that stuff's like, 75% off, 80% off. So just go check all your storefronts. It's probably a good idea.
All right.
And then to go along with that, of course, also there was Zen Pinball had some new titles that are being announced, I guess, from Alphanumeric Pinball. So they've got, let's see, Williams Pinball 6. And the tables include Funhouse, Space Station, Dr. Dudes, and His Excellent Ray. I am not familiar with any of these. I apparently don't play enough pinball.
Funhouse would be the most well-known. Funhouse had a very scary-looking face on the table.
Okay, I do remember Funhouse.
Yeah, Funhouse is the most well-known.
I'm not sure about, but... So that's pretty cool. You can check those out for... Pinball FX3 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Windows 10, and Steam, as well as on the Williams Pinball app, iOS, and Google Play.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games that are coming out near you real soon.
Yep.
As we start to ramp up to the release of new systems, if you can believe it. We're what? We're 3 weeks away from new systems?
2 weeks.
Wow.
Not even three. Yeah.
No, it's three, so, because next week is Halloween, then we get the November 7th, so it's 3 weeks. Fine. But it's close.
Yeah. So, starting off with this week, we've got Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Ghost Runner on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 4 on PlayStation 4. Oddworld New and Tasty on Nintendo Switch. Pacer on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And we've got Watchdog Legion on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Stadia. Angry Video Game Nerd 1 and 2 Deluxe on PC and Nintendo Switch. The Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Mad Rat Dead on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Pikmin 3 Deluxe on Nintendo Switch. Umahari Kawase Fresh on PlayStation 4. Visage on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. That's it.
Just a random question from chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Pod Culture asks, how many system launches has OLR covered? Launches, we weren't on the air. So our first show was in 2002. And even though we were pretty exclusively about music games in those early years, it came up all the time. We would still get tangents. Dark Soccer loved her classics and her Dreamcast and stuff. So we would take tangents all the time outside the music game stuff. So I would say we were covering the PlayStation 2 and Dreamcast, we were covering that era, but it was kind of like we didn't cover the launch, obviously, because Dreamcast came out in 99, PS2 was, 2001? So we weren't quite on the air yet. I remember one of the big things was I had just got my Japanese PlayStation 2 before OLR started, so that was like a thing. So when it comes to launches, we did like PlayStation 3 and I think Xbox 360 was just before that. And then PS3 and I think Wii came out around the same time. So we covered all that because that was the big lines where we were handing out donuts and stuff. And then, of course, we did the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and then now the PlayStation 5 and so forth. So as Bobby said in chat, this will be the fourth generation of the big three. And that's about
right. 3DS and Nintendo DS and Vita and PSP.
And I think an Amico next year. let's see.
Allegedly.
let's see. What was I going to say, too? Xbox. The original Xbox had also already been out when this show started. But I bought my Xbox, I think, a couple months into doing the show. Because I finally bought one for Halo and to play DDR. So, all three consoles are out by 2002. So it's been a lot. But it's also interesting to think, considering that we've been doing this, Loki, for 18 and a half years. it is interesting to think it's actually not that many. When you think just how long we've been doing this show, it's not that many launches, all things considered. This is
a
the
lot
first
more than it should have been. This was supposed to be a 10-year generation. Yeah.
Well, this is the first one. This is the first one in a pandemic. So it'll be interesting. All right. Anyway, sorry. Tangent question, but I thought it was a good one. Going to Japan and checking out the releases there, we have coming out on the 29th, Mad Rat Dead, Shantae and the Seven Sirens on Nintendo Switch. Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. It's an HD remaster of that. Cool. And then Kamen Rider Memory of Heroes is coming out as well in Japan. That's on the Switch. And also Taishu Cross Alice Heads and Tails is coming out as well. Going over to the PlayStation 4, I imagine we're going to see some overlap. Watch Dogs Legion actually is also out this coming week in Japan, so that's pretty cool, as is the Mad Rat Dead. There is a Kemco RPG selection. It's volume 5 of some various RPGs from over the years by Kemco put together in that, including As Divine Menace, Wizards of Brandel, Seek Hearts, and Innocent Revengers. Those are all the games that are going to be in it. And then Shin Megami Tensei Remaster is out on PS4. Saints Row the Third Remastered gets its Japanese release. So they must have done some things to localize it for Japan, because that came out here a while ago.
That was on the Switch, probably, I'm guessing, right?
This one's on the PlayStation 4.
Oh, PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
That's been a while.
Yeah, but they might have localized it. I don't know. That's sometimes why it's a little delayed in Japan. Some of the releases that are a little more made for this audience, they take a while to localize. Kamen Rider Memory of Heroes also released on PlayStation 4 this week, and a price reduction and Game of the Year edition for Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. How about the UK, Loki?
In the UK, we've got Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid saga continues on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Looks like Company of Heroes 2 All Out War Edition on PC. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? On PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. Watchdog Legion on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Mortal Shell on Xbox One. We've got The Dark Pictures Anthology Volume 1 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Pikmin 3 Deluxe on Nintendo Switch. Ninja Legends on PlayStation 4. The Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And last but not least, Dead Cells Prisoners Edition on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch.
All right. So lots, you know, we're getting into November when all the games are going to come out. So busy. All right. So we are going to now get back into some other news. I can't believe it's already 8:30. So we may cover this news a little quickly because we want to get some of your questions. There's no emails tonight, though. So we only have time for questions at the end. Hopefully we'll get some. But we have a few stories first. Loki.
Yeah. So Mojang announced that they're going to be migrating everybody over to Microsoft accounts, including folks that are, well, I should say only the Java edition players of Minecraft, because everybody already is on Minecraft or Microsoft accounts if you're playing Minecraft on consoles or the Windows 10 edition. So they are going to be migrating folks over to Microsoft accounts. You're going to have to create one for the Java edition soon, which will allow you to have the two-factor authentication and, you know, improve parental controls and all that wonderful stuff. Nothing else really changed about the game aside from how you log into it. Instead of having to have a separate Mojang account or Minecraft.net account, you'll be able to log in using that to incentivize people to do so. You will actually get a free cape. So they're going to offer you a free cape that you can use for your character as well. And starting this fall, you'll have to create those Microsoft accounts. So they haven't really specified a specific date yet, but it'll be pretty easy to do that. I kind of like that because I don't use the Java version too often, so I tend to forget my Mojang login credentials. So it'll be nice to just have it all under one. But
some people are trying to equate this to the Facebook Oculus thing, and I'm like,
no, not necessarily.
it doesn't seem nearly as bad.
I mean, you have to have a Microsoft account already for, like, the other versions of Minecraft. And it's not necessarily, like, this isn't tied to, like, social media or anything. They're not requesting your real name. They don't really care. It's just basically a centralized login service. And it makes sense. I mean, why have – it's just for consistency across the board. Why would you have a separate login for the Java version versus everything else. You just, it's much more simpler to maintain one system, mm-hmm. especially one that they're using across all their products. I don't see the point in having to create a separate login and maintain that. It's much easier. And plus this way too, it makes it a lot easier because I'm not sure if they're still offering it, but they used to be, if you buy the Java version, you get the Windows 10 version for free. And it's just easier to link that all together this way versus having to give you a key that you then go log into your Windows 10 account and, you know, get the game that way. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's much easier.
So, and I also fail to see what the big deal is about this, honestly, but I want to, you know, let every gamer have a voice. And I see in chat, ZenMonkey11 says, no, thank you, Mojang, and says, just make Java open source or leave it be. And I can kind of get that perspective, is that, you know, Java's kind of like WoW Classic in a way. You know, it's caters to a very specific audience. And I can also understand where it's just kind of like, just let it live in its own little corner and stop bothering it. Do you see that perspective, Loki?
No, I mean, they're still doing upgrades for it and everything. I don't see, I don't really see an issue with this. I don't equate this to be the same thing as what Facebook's doing with Oculus.
Well, and it is. It isn't. I'm saying some people, and I also agree, because Rama says that's a stretch, and I agree. And Bobby says the Facebook Oculus thing is because Facebook can decide you shouldn't have an account for whatever reason, and that means you can't use an Oculus device. For instance, if you don't use your exact legal name, boom, no Oculus, which is one of many reasons why I'm going to say I will never buy an Oculus. And I'm going to encourage all my friends, including Bobby Blackwolf, who is a VR guru. I understand.
But I already have one.
You know what? And that's fine. And I understand, because Bobby might be like, I need one because I'm such an enthusiast. Fine, I'll let it go. But I'm going to be actively encouraging people I know not to buy Oculus. Because then there was that whole thing this week about you can't like share things on the store, or like if you delete your Facebook account, then you basically lose everything you've bought. It's bleh, like, no, thank you. I mean, I will say thank you, Facebook, for making the decision of which VR platform to go with on the PC a lot easier for me by taking yourselves out of the equation. Thank you. You can't have multiple quests, one quest per account, because they're afraid you're going to give a quest with your account to someone else. Yeah. But all right, anyway, so I think we've made it very clear. It's not the same thing, even though some people are trying to say it is. But I also
look at it this way, like I think here's one of the things that I think that they're trying to do. They're trying to get parity across Java and the Bedrock editions already. Mm-hmm. So what I think they're trying to shoot for here is with maybe 1.17 that they're going to try, maybe they're gonna have enable some sort of cross play option for Java and Bedrock to be able to do it that way. Cause I know right now it's still very different and there's like features that are in one that aren't in the other one, but maybe the end goal is to have everybody be able to play together if they want to. And definitely, you know, the new login doesn't affect anything like modding or using like Bucket or any of that stuff. It's just strictly, instead of using your Microsoft account to log in, you'll use your, or your Minecraft login, you'll just use your Microsoft login.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about another hot Microsoft property, and that's Halo. And Halo, the Master Chief Collection, I believe was a launch title for Xbox One, if I am not mistaken. No, maybe not a launch title.
It was pretty close,
if not like a launch. But anyway, it had some rough spots when it first came out, but they've, you know, been working on it consistently really throughout the years to make it better, and it's in a really good place right now, and it's going to be further upgraded to essentially be a bit of a launch title for Xbox Series X as well as S as well. So November 17th, Halo the Master Chief Collection is going to get some upgrades, and that means you will now be able to play the game at 120 frames a second on both X and S. On X, you can do this in 4K. That's pretty cool. So it's going to be a smooth game.
Can I find a TV that can actually support that?
Probably not. but as a quick aside, Loki, you might get a kick out of this. I bought my 4K TV yesterday. It's just I'm having it delivered so that they can take the box and all that crap out of here and that stuff, which was – I did it all through Costco. It's only $20 to do that through Costco. So I was like, whatever. And so I bought my TV. So and I'm sure you all dying to know, what did I end up going with? Did I get the OLED I'd been talking about? No, I did not. I finally decided that was just a little too expensive for me. Not knocking the TV. They're pretty devices. So I did not get that. I did get the Samsung QLED, which was kind of like the other, like, you know, kind of fancier LED. I'm aware it's not the same thing as OLED and the whole concept of the pure black and all that stuff. But I felt for the price I was willing to spend, it was pretty enough. So that's my new TV, and that's getting here on this coming Friday. So I'll be able to talk more about that on the next OLR. But I will actually be able to enjoy my Xbox Series X. That's another reason I had to be a little bit price conscious. Is like getting a TV and a new console. I could not do a TV and two new consoles. So PlayStation 5 has to wait for next year. But TV and one console, like it's going to be nice that I'm going to be having that, because it's almost like, it's going to be just a new gaming experience. It's the first time I really will have been doing a lot of gaming in 4K. I've done this much on my PC, and it's things that will actually run on my current setup in 4K, which is stuff like Diablo 3. Wow. WoW's 4K right now. So, yeah. So I'm really excited to check something like this out, like Halo, the Master Chief Collection. And I think it's pretty nice on Xbox how you have Game Pass is going to have all these games on it. It's like you're going to have quite a few games to check out right away. Only Sonic says you need HDMI 2.1 or something like that. This TV does have it, so it's a new enough model to have that. DJ Rama S says, Rob, what size TV? 65 inch, which is 5 inches more than I have now. No One Special says, can the human eye even see 120 frames per second? I don't know. I didn't think they could see 60, and yet I can see it for what it is. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Next story. You want to talk about this, Loki? It's our favorite company.
Yeah. So Konami has re-upped their trademarks for Goemon, and apparently a spinoff of the Suikoden series. So they've upped their trademark for Genso Suigaden and Gambare Goemon, an emotional voice system. So that was the system that was implemented by the Tokimeki Memorial series.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I wonder what they plan on doing with that.
They probably don't necessarily plan on doing much with it, aside from maybe re-releasing some of the stuff, or doing like collections or something. Maybe they'll do a Goemon collection.
Oh, Goemon collection would be awesome, especially with all these like collections on the Switch, where they actually like the Mana collection, where they actually localize things. Like, I would give Konami a little credit.
I love Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Yeah, there's a ton of Goemon games. They should localize some more and put them out. I think that'd be cool. Not Ni No Kuni collection. Sorry, Kunio-kun collection that came out not that long ago with all the River City Ransom games and those guys and all those NES games like the soccer game and stuff that had never come out here locally. I think that would be really awesome. Orange Wright does point out they did just announce a new Tokimeki Memorial game for the Switch. It's a girls' side game, if I recall correctly. I hope they make another anniversary collection. Those were neat. And Pixel Pacas is laughing at my Ni No Kuni collection. Well, with that news on level 5 last week, sadly, that's never going to happen. That's sad. So, but yeah, you know what? I didn't think it would necessarily be for a Goemon collection. I thought, oh, maybe they're working on a new game. But somehow the idea of a Goemon collection as opposed to them doing a new game sounds better. Stick to what you do. Stick to your history. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You have another one for us, Logie.
Sorry. I've been like trying to fight with the new PlayStation Store page, the website.
I haven't looked at it, and I heard it's
garbage.
Bad.
It's
hot
garbage. So like I forgot to get my PlayStation Plus games for October, and I have this button here that says join PlayStation Plus. I'm like, well, that's weird because I'm on PlayStation Plus and I've already been paying for it. So why can't I download my games? And that's just in a big loop. Get the games, click the button, and it takes me to a page where they want me to join. I'm like, but I've already joined, and I'm also logged in. So what the hell? It's garbage.
Did they add titles of games yet?
What do you mean titles of games?
I guess I was like, I don't know. Like they said, I was reading some website that was like, when you're in the store, you see the box art, but you don't even see what the whole name of the game. And like, you can't even see what is like Minecraft the game versus Minecraft DLC packs and all this other stuff. Like, it's just hard to tell the difference.
So like, I don't know. Like right now, like, so I'm on the PlayStation Plus page and it's all get the game. So I click the button. It takes me back to the PlayStation Plus page, which says join PlayStation Plus. I don't want to join it because I already have, I'm on it. It renews in fact a couple days. So I guess I got to go through my system to it. So I, what the hell, man? Like I don't get it. Anyways, sorry. Enough.
No, it's fine.
There.
I want to know how that was greenlit too.
But anyways, so let's talk a little bit about, and actually funny enough, I forgot to mention this back when we were talking about Minecraft. So you may remember that Minecraft Steve was added to Super Smash Brothers. Well, there's been a small tweak that they have done because apparently
it wasn't like, that small.
His winning pose had him holding a cooked piece of beef, and unfortunately, it looked like a pixelated penis on the screen.
How did that get? How did that get by the Nintendo? I don't know. Whatever.
It's pretty funny.
So they said, Steve, you need to put your meat away.
Yes. So
you know you're excited you won, but you need to put your meat away.
He's not holding his meat anymore. So that's funny. Okay. So if we still, you know, back to, you know, kind of a throwback to when we were talking about earlier, how certain people at certain game companies feel that, you know, gamers should pay to stream their games because they aren't making enough money. Well, I mean, as if it's any surprise with sports games, it's gotten ridiculous with the amount of like stuff that they're throwing in people's faces. So UFC tried this a while back, EA putting, you know, little ad bumpers in there as well. Well, NBA 2K now has unskippable ads that load before the game.
Street Fighter 5 has those too, because it was a PlayStation Plus game last month, and when you before you get set up for a match, it's like present this match presented by, and like every single one I was getting was like the Capcom Cup or whatever it was going on at the time. So it was a local ad, but it was I kind of rolled my eyes.
So they have unskippable ads for stuff like, you know, Converse, Snowfall, Oculus Quest, all sorts of things. It's ridiculous. Also considering, I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen with this one. I mean, because I get it, they're doing it while it's loading, but you know, these next-gen systems are going to load much, much, much faster. Are they just going to artificially increase that load time in order to do these ads? It's garbage. Anyways, NBA 2K has basically put out a tweet saying, as many of you are aware, in the recent years, ads have been integrated into 2K TV segments. Yesterday's 2K TV ad placement impacted our players' experience in a way we didn't intend. Bullshit. as these ads are not meant to run as part of the pregame introduction, this will be fixed in future episodes. Thank you for your continued feedback. I don't buy that one bit. I think they make the excuse, well, we didn't intend for this to happen. But...
well, it did.
They're like, oops, we made a mistake. Whoopsie doops. You know, they're just waiting to see what the reaction's going to be. I'm telling you, these guys that are trying to fleece everybody for, you know, microtransactions and season passes and all of this nonsense each year, you know, I don't know so much about 2K, but like EA doesn't really even update their game very much year to year, taking away features, selling those back to you, or whatever the case may be. And they're still demanding more money on top of all this, like, you know, endorsements with different, you know, food brands or, you know, with shoes or advertisements, you know, throwing stuff. They're making money, like tons of money off of this stuff. You can't tell me that. And then they're going to, you know, not them particularly, but I could easily see them jumping on board if some AAA studio decided to start charging people to stream their games, get right on board with that because, hey, that's money. Why not have all the money? I could easily see them doing that. I mean, 2K and EA, I mean, just, it's just bad.
All right. What? There's another thing with EA, right?
Yes. So EA, talking about you know, their incredible loot box systems that they have with Madden and whatnot. Apparently, there's a case that's pending in Canada, a class action lawsuit against EA regarding their loot boxes that violates the country's criminal code, basically accusing them of running unlicensed illegal gambling systems. And they're seeking damages for unjust enrichment arising from the defendant's operation of illegal gambling systems through the sale of so-called loot boxes in popular video games.
Well, you know, this is serious shit when Canadians are not going to be polite about it anymore. This is...
Yes. The legal part of it serious. Comes when you don't know what will be in those loot boxes. And I'm not sure if they're necessarily upfront with the odds on that stuff. They may be, but, like, it's still... Yeah, it's still something, of course, that several countries have brought up as far as saying that this type of stuff would fall under gambling laws. So I'm surprised that they haven't.
In other words, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X launches may be a good time to get rid of this crap. Although we know they're not, we know, but maybe Canada's not so subtly suggesting now is a good time to change their habits.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to change.
Not until
somebody steps in. Yeah, until someone steps in to make them accountable.
Here I am yet again this year sitting here saying, Canada, save us all. All right. Moving on. Let's talk. I seriously love Canada and all my Canadian friends' hearts. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about, you know who else needs money? Atari. Because... I don't think that computer is going to sell. Like, I couldn't even tell you. Is it the Atari VCS? Is that what they're calling it? This is a problem. Number one, this is a problem. I could tell you more about that Intellivision Amico than I could Atari system. And that's no shade against Intellivision. I'm not here to do that.
It's so expensive. Their system is so expensive.
I couldn't tell you anything about that new Atari. Except
it's like $350 for the Atari thing.
Yeah, I think it's a real computer slash it plays Atari stuff slash at one point I heard Antstream was on it, but then I'm not hearing that anymore. So
it's just a computer.
Let's talk about something besides that's not that. Okay. This I understand. Atari teaming up with UNIS, to release a Pong arcade machine for your home. This is a little different than the table-sized ones that are a little more akin to like an arcade one-up bar top. This is a Pong Mini. So it's a 7.9-inch LCD screen and two dial controls so that you can play Pong with 10 different difficulty settings. There's no battery built in, so it runs on AA batteries. But it's Pong, so I don't expect it's going to use a lot of power. But you can also power it with a USB cable and adapter. So if you don't want to use batteries, you're trying to be eco-friendly, whatever, you do have that option as well. You can get it this holiday season. Arcade 1UP will actually be distributing this here in North America because UNIS is a Chinese company. No pricing details yet or pre-order details yet. Yeah, I noticed, by the way, I was at Target today, and I didn't even realize this was a market Arcade 1UP was getting into. But they are beyond just the replica arcade machine stuff now. Those little controllers that have games in them, Arcade 1UP is doing those now.
Yeah, garbage.
Are they? I saw a Mega Man one, which I don't know why I'd get that because it exists on the Switch. And there was a Namco Pac-Man / Mappy / those games one.
So here's the fun thing about those. So they are kind of garbage based on the reviews I've watched for them. It's mainly that the controller is kind of garbage. The games themselves emulate just fine, but you can actually, they're emulation boxes. You can load other games onto them using an SD card, which is kind of cool. And then with that, you can also like hook up USB controllers to it and stuff. So it might be worth it for that, but like the included controller is not good.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, I just thought it was interesting they were getting into that line of business. Anyway, sorry. The story was actually supposed to be about Atari and the Mini Pong, but it just shows to go arcade 1UP is really like they're. I feel like 2 years ago I didn't know a thing about these guys, and then as much as a year ago it was like, oh, I'll never be able to afford that shit anyway. That's a company for rich people. And now I feel like they're showing up everywhere. You know, so this is very interesting. So, but you know. You know, we're the 40 somethings now. I know you're not 40 yet, Loki, but we're
I am.
Oh no, that's right. You just hit that on September. Yes, that's right. So,
okay, so
brand new.
I wanted to...
Okay.
So I'm looking at the Atari VCS page.
Okay.
And I can't help but laugh. It's just ridiculous stuff that's on here. So I saw this thing at the very bottom. It said talking about like the features of their console. You know, it's like Ryzen processor, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. Atari speaker hat compatible. I'm like, what the hell is that? So apparently they've released a hat that has speakers in it.
Oh.
That you can listen to music or something. It's high fidelity microphones and stuff. They're in all sorts of businesses, that Atari.
Hey, whatever happened to the hotels? I mean, pandemic. That's
those
probably
are
the answer there.
Coming.
Are they really? Because that was the most interesting thing I'd heard. It, like, as far as like using their brand in a crazy way, I thought those hotels sounded fascinating. So I'm curious if it I would stay at one just to see and see if it's, you know, what or if it's kind of like, you know, garbage. But I'd be curious. I'd be super curious. Super curious. DJ Roma S says the speaker hat has been around for a couple years. Bobby Blackwolf says, I can't wait to go and stay at hotels again. Technically, you can, but I understand the point you're trying to make, and I get it. I can't wait to get on a plane again, and I could if I wanted to, but now they're going to be selling the middle seats, apparently, on my favorite airline, so I don't know how I feel about that. So I'm not in a rush to go anywhere anytime soon, especially... It's gonna be a good several weeks after Thanksgiving and Christmas because those holidays really worry me. I just don't think people are gonna give a shit, and we'll see. DJ Romeo says the speaker hat's been around for a while. Well, that's cool. All right. So this is the part where we get to the listener roundtable and open up to our chat room for your questions or comments on anything we've talked about tonight or anything we haven't talked about yet that you hoped we would talk about. I would also typically do the mailbag at this time because you can send your emails every week to participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read our favorite emails here on the air. But there's an empty mailbag this week. We didn't get anything. We've had a good run of mailbag weeks. And I can't. Dark Soccer is not even here for me to talk about Drag Race with. So now what do I do? Loki, you watching Drag Race Holland?
No.
Damn it. All right. Okay. Good. Excellent. The chat room here with the save. When in doubt, bring it back to food. SSGO 100 Matt says, rank your top three Halloween. Is it from a distance? I thought it said candles. And I'm like... let's see. Bed candies. Bath and Beyond. No, I know it's candies. All right, rank your top three Halloween candies.
Loki, I don't top three. Really eat a lot of candy, so like it's always Tootsie Rolls. So that's what I've been just buying that stuff, you know, from the stores and getting that. Gummy bears. And I don't know. I don't really like a lot of the chocolate stuff that they give out. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I'm with Hot Pocketry, Peanut Butter Cups, probably very high on the list, near the top. I would say for Halloween candies, I'm trying to think of things that you usually see around Halloween that you don't see other times of year. I never got those in trick-or-treat bags. And it's not actually my favorite. I like it, but it's not my favorite. I would say the Wonka candies I see more this time of year than any other time. And so specifically like bottle caps. I've always really liked, you know, those, the soda flavored candy. I'm not as big on Nerds and Runts. I only like the banana ones. So so I would say, bottle caps and vanilla Tootsie Rolls specifically, or any fruit flavored one. I like those as
well. Yeah, I don't know if I like those. I don't know.
Really?
We have a bunch.
Like I said,
I just buy like a 5 pound bag or I buy like not a 5 pound bag. It's like a $5 bag of that stuff. And it lasts for months.
Yeah, and Black and Pat says Kit Kats, Snickers, and Nerds. I would agree with Kit Kats. I always like if I'm just like at the convenience store and I'm like, I want candy, I usually will buy a Kit Kat bar or Twix is the other one that I really like. Because now all these companies are doing their crazy flavors. You know, ever since Oreo started doing it, now I feel like every sweets company is doing their crazy flavors. I guess that was a thing they had to do because of the dieting that everybody's doing. Made people start cutting that stuff out, so they tried to do crazy flavors to bring people back. But like Twix has like a peanut butter Twix that's really good, and there's a cookies and cream one that's pretty good too. So I'm liking the crazy flavor. And Kit Kat is finally doing some crazy flavors like they've had in Japan for forever. Like, there were some apple pie Kit Kats I had not long ago. Really good. So, those would be my answers. Good question. While we wait to see if any other candies. Sure, I'll take candy. If we wait to see if any other questions come in, Loki, do you have any last-minute stories?
I don't.
And I was like, I feel like we hit everything. It wasn't really big of a week, all things considered. There were just some big moments.
I was going to say Epic Games has got I know that they've got the Ghostbusters remaster that's going to be free next week, which is pretty cool. Oh. I want to check that out. And then there was also, what's the other one that they had for next week as well? Blair Witch is going to be free next week as well. So check those out.
As Joe and Matt says, I used to like Butterfingers, but as I got older, I'm not a fan of them. I still like them, but what I really liked, I don't think they sell them anymore. The Butterfingers BBs, they were like tiny little, do you guys know what I'm talking about? They were like little,
I think like a
Whopper, but it was filled with Butterfinger instead of the malts. That's what it was. I like those. Bobby Blackwolf says, favorite quote from my 1982 history book. Didn't read it. No One Special 77 says, favorite VOG host. Oh, that's a question that's asking for trouble. I'm going to say Captain Spike because I really want Game Buoy to come back regularly. And Slag Kick. It's a tie. Let's see. That's it. I don't think we have any other questions. Bobby Blackwell says Grandpa. Yeah, we want Starboard Power Coupling back too. So, all right. Anyway, I guess that's it. We're not really getting a lot of other questions. We've run a pretty long show tonight. We've had a very busy show, lots of things to discuss. So I think we're good to start to wrap up. I want to thank you guys for coming out and supporting the show. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and supporting us every week the way you always do. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only put the voices that are here on the air if they're here. So tell a friend. Auto hosts on Twitch go an awful long way, which, by the way, if you didn't know, if you're not listening live, if you're listening on the podcast feed, after we do the credits, we'll come back and acknowledge everybody who did the donations and the following. I have not been able to read hosts for the longest time because Twitch got rid of that feature. Well, guess what, y'all? Twitch brought it back. But guess what, y'all? You have to be logged in as the account and not one of the deputies, essentially, in order to see the list. So I'm logged in as Rob Roberts, my personal account, which is deputized to do whatever I need to do on VOG Network, except see the damn hosting list. So I'm hoping we'll get that fixed unless Bobby's going to copy paste for me. I don't know. But in future weeks, I will be able to read the hosts again. So the hosting, and even if it's an auto hosting, that stuff goes an awful long way. So thank you. Oh, Bobby says there's 30 hosts. That's amazing. Thanks, you guys. You guys rule. That's way more than we had in December. It was like 11 when we first started. That's great. Thanks, you guys. So auto hosts go an awful long way. Thank you. And then a 5-star review if you use iTunes or any place that accepts reviews. We really appreciate those as well. Word of mouth is what we got. So let's get to final thoughts and then wrap it all up. So I guess, Loki, we'll start with you. What's your final thought tonight?
Final thought is I hope I get this code bit that I'm working on to actually work correctly. It really should be much simpler than what I'm doing. There should be no reason why it's not working, but of course it's not working for reasons.
All right. And my final thought tonight is vote, 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 vote. And I'm excited. I'm glad to hear there's many of you out there who have also been shy to play Among Us. So I'm looking forward to our first VOG Among Us night. I think that will be a lot of fun. I don't know when it will be, but I'm going to work on that. So cool. That's it. We're going to wrap up and roll the credits. Thanks, you guys, for being here and checking out the show this week. Have a happy Halloween. Have a safe Halloween. Please remember COVID-19. We just, like, Shane was on at the beginning of the show. Thank you, Shane, for being here at the start of the show. Even though he has COVID, he came here on the show virtually, of course, tonight to talk to us. And I hope that also kind of brings it home. Like, COVID is real. It's out there. And thank heavens, Shane is relatively healthy through it and not one of the more serious cases. So I say that all because have a happy Halloween, but don't be reckless. Science does not care about your opinions, political or otherwise. So just because you wish COVID away isn't going to make it the case. So please keep that in mind. I'm not saying don't, like, leave your house, but just please take precautions. Okay. Take precautions. Thank you. Oh my God. Bobby miscounted and said it was 40 hosts. That's amazing. Thank you. All right. That's it. We really are going to roll credits now. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.